The following presentation was given by Stephen E. Harris to the Warren Police Civilian Emergency Response Team, also called CERT, on October 7th of 2003. The class covers only food and water for family preparedness. Two other classes will cover family protection from weapons of mass destruction, disease, energy, cooking heat sources, illumination, and lighting, as well as winter, cold weather, and clothing. A class is currently available that is a great overview of most of these subjects and is 3.5 hours long. The audio of this class is available from knowledgepublications.com. That's KNOWLEDGEPUBLICATIONS.com. For more information on these classes, or to have Mr. Harris come speak to your group, email support@knowledgepublications.com or just go to the website. More information on Mr. Harris and his background can be found at stevenharris.net. That's StevenHarris.net.
Okay, I want to thank everyone for coming here today. This is going to be one fun class, at least I hope it's going to be. My name is Stephen Harris. I work for the Warren Civilian Emergency Response Team. Some of the other things I do is I am a member and contributor to Doctors for Disaster Preparedness. It's a civil defense organization. It's been working for your civil defense since about the mid-80s. Member of the American Civil Defense Association, TACTA. I'm also happy to say that I do contribute my skills and talents to United States Special Forces in different areas. Formerly, I went to college for electrical engineering education. I also have a ham radio license, so I can talk to you about communications if you so desire. I have a background in doing strategic simulations, combat simulations, which I kind of wish I never got out of. I used to work for the scientific labs of Chrysler and Daimler Chrysler. Electrochemistry was one of my specialties. And I'm currently a consultant professionally in the hydrogen fuel cells, solar energy, biomass reformation, anything else you want to talk about in energy and batteries. So that's what my background is, and that's how I can speak on some of these subjects. Next slide, please. This is the family preparedness series. We got three classes, each one about 4 hours in length, 3.5, 4 hours. The first one is the one that you're at here right now, which is food and water. This class is going to cover nothing but food and water and do it in detail. If you want to know about cooking and stoves and everything, you got to come to the next class, which is on energy and diseases. I'll cover all the different methods of cooking, which ones are best for you, stoves, you name it, your oven, natural gas, propane. I'll cover that in the next class. I'm not going to take away from the food and water class, but telling you which ways to cook. The second class, as I said, is also on energy. Its primary focus, the first half of it, is on disease. I'm just going to lump chemical and biological warfare kind of into the disease frame. I'll talk about SARS, I'll talk about smallpox, I'll talk about safe rooms, I'll talk about what you can do in your home, how you can protect your family, and I have a unique way of making you understand how these different biological agents really get to you. I'm not going to make you memorize the vectors for smallpox and tularemia. You won't even hear most of those disease names coming out of me. I'm going to give you a fundamental understanding of how you get a cold, how you get the flu, how these things propagate, so you'll understand it. You'll understand weapons of mass destruction like you understand mosquitoes today. Most of you understand mosquitoes, right? You can avoid a mosquito, right? I'm going to try to give you the same principle of knowledge for weapons of mass destruction as you now have for mosquito, so you'll be able to avoid it and keep your family, yourself and your family safe. I'm going to cover energy, power, light, illumination, electronics in detail. Fun, simple stuff, all off the shelf from Walmart, basically, that'll give you enough light and illumination and power your cell phones and your radios and your televisions in your house for maybe even $15, sometimes for almost nothing. You almost have everything in your house right now, you just don't realize it. Third class, most important one for where we live, winter, cold weather and clothing. What is the most important thing for you to have in your preparedness inventory?
Clothing.
You can die in minutes from cold weather exposure. Minutes. Hours easily. It takes you days to die from lack of water. It takes you months to die from lack of food. It takes you months and years to die from lack of nutrition. So clothing is your most important thing. Doesn't matter if you have all the food and water and everything in the world, electronics. If you get stuck at 10 below in a breeze and you're wearing your fall gear, you're dead quickly. Now, my previous class that some of you heard about, the one on June 6th, that was 3.5 hours of family preparedness. It was kind of an overview for the three classes that I just spoke about. It covers most of these subjects. It covers food, water, and quite, I mean, how many people here were at the first class? How many of you ended up using something I talked about during the blackout? Did you guys feel pretty good about what you knew when the blackout happened? Okay, that class, for all the people listening out there, and for the people who are here, if you want to go through that class and you haven't, all the audio from the class is up on the website, knowledgepublications.com. KNOWLEDGEPUBLICATIONS.com. It's for free. You just sign up, and it'll give you a download link. You can listen to it. It's an MP3 format file. It's free for anyone. For anyone who wants to take notes, there's paper and pens in the back on the table as well. Next slide, please. Food and water. What am I going to talk about today? I'm going to talk about food and water from the perspective of no fancy equipment. I'm not going to make you go out and buy kerosene cookers and Dutch ovens and wheat grinders and stuff like this. I'm going to show you everything you need to know for food and water, and it's all from Walmart, Kroger, Myers, and local stores. Farmer Jack, you name it. It's simple stuff. It's on the shelf. I'm going to show you how to do food and water for yourself and your family for a few days, or a few weeks, or a month and more. When you leave this class, you'll have no doubt in your mind how to make a month's worth of food, or more, or a few days' worth, whatever is best suited for you. I'm not saying everyone here needs to have years' worth of food. You need to have as much food as you think you need to have on hand for your needs and what you feel the threats are going to be. The thing is, the way most people tell you about 1/12 of a year's worth of food, a month's worth of food, they'll teach you how to do a month's worth of food supply the same way they teach you how to do a year's worth of food supply. Only you have 1/12 of it. You gotta buy the grinders, you gotta buy the wheat, you gotta buy, you know, the old way of doing things. We're not gonna do that here. 1/12 of a year's worth of food, you don't do it the same way you do a whole year or the way you do 2 years. Okay, if you wanna really learn how to have a year's worth of food, it's a whole different subject. I can teach this to you. I have 3 man years of food. Myself and anyone I so choose can be at my residence for about a year and a half and be comfortable with the amount of food and water and stuff I have stored. I have to do that because I have to be able to teach it to people who want to do it. I have done systems for other private groups and people where we had 50 people set up in a remote location for 6 months, and you know how much it costs to feed those 50 people for 6 months? $3,000. That's 11 cents a meal. That's pretty cheap. I got poor and unemployed after 9/11. You know what? I was eating my food storage. This isn't just good for disasters. This is the best unemployment insurance you ever ran into. I know people and friends from college and past, when they got poor and they got hungry, their cupboards were empty. They were hungry. When I got poor and hungry, I didn't have anything I could go open. I didn't have any chips or I had no bags of stuff to go open. But I could go downstairs and get stuff. I could make anything I want. I could make biscuits. I lived on biscuits and peanut butter and jelly and honey like a month or more, because every penny I was making was going towards my mortgage. This is the best unemployment insurance you're going to get. We're going to talk to you about doing stuff today. It's going to be about $1 a day for your food. Some of this will go into your cert kit. Some of this might be in your car. Some of it might be in your cupboards at home. Some of it might be in the box in the basement. I'm going to do the same thing I did at the last class. We have a door prize here for you. Somebody is going to win something. Lisa was the winner at the last one. She's exempt this time. I'm not going to tell you what the door prize is. Neither is Lisa. But when you ask a question, when you try to answer a question, Or when you answer a question right, I will give you a card. You will put your name on the card at the end of the class. We will draw the name to see who wins the door prize. So the more questions you ask or try to ask, the questions you try to answer, the more cards you get, the better your chance. People who ask really dumb questions might lose a card.
Question.
Yes.
Nothing to do with it, but your class does us 4 hours, and the parking out there said 2 hours.
We know the police department.
Oh, okay. We have connections.
We have connections. Next slide, please. What's the most important thing in any disaster? In case of strife, hardship, pain, suffering upon you. What is it that determines whether you live or you die?
Not panicking.
Keeping your senses. Pass that man the card. Well, what is it that determines whether you live? What is it that keeps these people on top of Mount Everest and Polar Explorer?
Determination.
What is this lady? She gets two cards. Next slide, please. It's your attitude. This is the most important thing. Out of anything you leave from here, you must remember, it is your attitude. It's partly your attitude that has you here today. You want to learn. You want to know more. Your attitude makes a difference. I am going to make it. When you are going through the hardest part, when your family members are dead, your house is falling in around you, and you're standing there and you have other family members, I am going to make it. I am going to get through this. In the military, in survival training, they teach you to look for every little victory you can, like when you're a POW and they're doing nasty things to you. Your little victory might be surviving the next minute. It might be getting over the next rock. It might be just surviving the night. It might be finding something for some shelter. You find each little victory that you can, each little success, and you use that to move yourself forward. But all in all, it is your attitude that will keep you alive and make the difference between whether you will live or die. Click again, please. Everyone seen this little cartoon? The frog going down the mouth of the heron is squeezing its neck, okay? I am not going to be swallowed. I am not going to be lunch. You know, who's got who here? One's about to be swallowed, but the other one can't breathe. They're both choking. Next slide. Oh, this is a cute picture. Now, is this cat? This cat is walking in front of 16 police dogs, and they're all staring at it. Is this cat stupid? Is it intelligent? Does it have attitude? Does it know that it can, you know, kick all the dogs, or does it know the dogs are all very well trained? I don't know. But, you know, this is a very cute picture. When you're faced with a bunch of adversity, you know, the cat is moving through it. Next slide, please. Oh, the blackout happened. You made it through. You didn't, nothing happened. It was short, or whatever, you avoided it. Some people who were at this class were happy that they were. And some people say, we were lucky. You survived the blackout, you didn't have any problems, or whatever the next catastrophe is. What is luck? Anyone know this? What is luck?
Chance favors the prepared mind.
That's a good one.
Basically, you create your own luck.
That is very, pretty much true. You'll see how that relates. Next slide. Luck is laboring under correct knowledge. You make your own luck. I owe some of these wonderful phrases to a good friend of mine who teaches some of this stuff by the name of Jim Phillips. He is the master of the philosophy for the mindset for preparedness. Next slide. I am where I am today because of the decisions I made yesterday. You're here because you decided to come here, because we let you know 2 weeks in advance, and Sandy called you at 1 week, and Sandy called you at 3 days, just to remind you. And so you're here because of decisions you made yesterday. I will be where I will be tomorrow because of decisions you make today. You're here making decisions about learning things, about preparedness. If we have a catastrophe hit us tomorrow, or a mishap, or a minor incident, or world calamity, you'll be better off because of the decisions you made today. Of course, the decisions you make in 2 days are based upon you doing some of this preparedness stuff tomorrow or next week. Next slide, please. Okay, preparedness is not stuff. This is very important. Preparedness is not the things that you have. It's what you know. It's what between your ears. I'm going to teach principles here. Yeah. What happened? You weren't recording. Did it say REC in there, the counter going up?
Just start doing auto code.
It was recording. It's at 9 minutes. Okay, just watch the buttons or your thumb or something might have done it.
Okay.
No, I don't know what it was. Is the power on? Where's the, is my battery symbol? This should be plugged in. No, that's okay. Okay. Am I prepared because I got my stuff? Okay, I got this cute little light here. See this? Everyone is talking. I got this cute little light here. See this? Light comes on. Look. Little flashing light on top goes blinky, blinky, blinky. Help me, help me. Come save me. I'm here, I'm here. Are you safe because you have this? You think people are going to see this little thing come help you? You're dependent upon yourself to help yourself. I'm going to teach you the principles here. I'm not going to teach you memorization. I'm going to teach you principles. I'm going to teach you stuff as if you had a CPR class from us. Now, if you left here after a CPR class, can I take away that what I taught you?
No.
Something happens to someone, you'll have that knowledge between your ears of how to help them with breathing, clearing the airway, and pumping down their chest. So I want to teach the same thing here to you as well. Keep in mind the principles I'm trying to teach you, the lessons, and not the particular individual items I'm trying to teach you. Because no matter where you are, you'll have those with you. Expedient civil defense is the technical description of what I'm talking about. Expedient means quickly, with what you have around you, as if you had nothing prepared. I want you to know how to help yourself even if you have nothing. If the lights go off now, I want you to know what to do even though you don't have anything with you. It's what you have around you. Everything becomes a resource. You have a thunderstorm. A tree branch comes flying down off the tree and right through the roof like this. You got a big hole in your roof. Tree branch went through the basement, scared the dog, and you got rainwater coming in. What do you have in your house right now that you can use to cover that hole in your roof with?
Tarp.
No, you don't have a tarp. I don't have a tarp.
Garbage bag.
Garbage bag, well, that's a good one, but you know what? The garbage bag's a little bit too small. It's a bigger tree limb. What do you have?
Shower curtain.
I heard her say it first.
Shower curtain.
Shower curtain. Okay. Shower curtain. A coated tablecloth. A shower curtain's big enough. It's a big piece of plastic. You need to stop looking at the shower curtain as a shower curtain and as a resource to fix your problem. That's expedient civil defense. No, it's okay. I'm used to it. Food technology. We're going to talk about food technology in this class. That's kind of how I'm going to approach it. Not as I'm going to try to show it as technology, as if I was talking about computers or something. The way the intricacies of food works. After this class, you can be poor, homeless, and under an overpass, and you'll be eating good. I mean, if you just get a few quarters from the guys passing beer, you hold up a sign that says, you know, why lie, need money for beer, and they throw you some dollars, you never mind the beer, you're going to go to the store, and you're going to get the stuff I'm going to show you about, and you're going to be eating. I mean, it can go as cheap as 11 cents a day, or 11 cents per meal, 50 cents a day, dollar a day. You won't be hungry after you walk out of this class. If you have something, what is it? Click, please. Attitude. Failure only happens when you say, I give up. That's the only time you're going to fail. Okay, some past disasters that we've gone through in this country and world. Hurricane Andrew. Devastating. I mean, there were places without power for 2 weeks to a month. Rescue people didn't get there for days, a week sometimes. Hurricane Hugo, the Oklahoma City tornado. Montreal Northeast ice storm. That kept some people out of power for 6 weeks in the cold. The blizzard of 96 and the blizzard of 2003. The Midwest floods made the fifth Great Lake. 11 state power failure. I bet most of you guys don't know this. There was 11 state power failure out in Arizona, Nevada, part of California, Oregon, Idaho. I think it was 96. It was only about a half day. I was out there in the desert doing development work for Chrysler, and the power went out in the middle of the summer. First thing I did was stop and buy about $50 of water. 9/11, 2001. 9/11 was a different type of disaster. It affected a very local area very severely. It hit New York and Washington, D.C. It was very traumatic. It was very traumatic for us to see this emotionally and to watch it. It was very hard. It was hard on a great deal of people who were there locally and were affected by it. But it was a very locally disaster. The buildings came down. Manhattan was paralyzed. But there were millions and millions of people around to come to the rescue. They could get there. That's not true of a blackout situation and other disasters. You couldn't leave Michigan or fly anywhere if you wanted to during the blackout, unless you had enough gas to get up to a powered area. If you don't have the fuel and the resources, you can't get in to help those people. They're stuck. But during 9/11, millions of people came and helped because they could. The LA riots, the DC sniper, and the anthrax attack. What are these? These are fear. The anthrax to the post office was fear against your infrastructure. The D.C. sniper was outright fear. One man, one gun, one bullet a day paralyzed an entire metropolitan area in half the state. People didn't want to go to work. People didn't want to stop and fill up their cars. Business went down the tubes in many places real quickly, especially up and down the I-95 corridor. 2003, SARS didn't affect us in the United States significantly. It affected Toronto and Asia. I'll show you some pictures. It paralyzed Asia. You have no concept of what it really did to them. Monkeypox. We have usually one emerging infection every 40 years. We've had three in the last two. West Nile virus, SARS, monkeypox. Monkeypox died out very quickly. It was contained in the pet population. It didn't go to the rodent population in the wild that we know of. 8/14/2003, the blackout of 2003, or as I call it, the first or the shortest blackout of 2003. That blackout can happen again right now. It can last a week. We haven't really identified the real root cause of the blackout. It could have been cyber terrorism. It could have been an accident. It could have been a malfunctional relay. The root cause has yet to really be identified, and any of the things I just said could cause the next one. You know, you can go buy a map of every power line and natural gas line in the United States for $75. There's only about three major natural gas lines going to California. It gives them most of their power. Blackout can be engineered pretty straightforward by some determined people. Next slide, please. Let's look at a few quick disasters that affected people. There's a blizzard. I think this is the one of 96. Next slide. Oh, here's a lady with her daughter. She's looking at a tornado from underneath an overpass. Does she have her stuff with her? She's only got what's between her ears. That could be the natural instincts of a mother. That could be CPR. That could be first aid. She could be a meteorologist for all I know. But she's stuck there. And she's only got what she knows. She doesn't have anything with her. That's what can easily happen to us. Next slide. Leadership. This is a photograph of the aftermath of the Oklahoma City tornado. It shows devastation as far as the eye can see, smashed vehicle. There's a little quote about leadership. Leadership, well, we all have a leadership role, okay? Some of us work in CERT as leaders. Some of us work in the police department or fire. Some of us are leaders in the community of our church. But we're all leaders of our family, or we're all leaders for someone else amongst us, generally, in some respect. Leadership throughout history has never been won, found, or acquired. Leadership has always been suddenly and violently thrust upon you. Suddenly and violently thrust upon you is your leadership. It's not won. It's not elected. Who in recent history is a classic example of having this leadership violently thrust upon them?
The mayor of New York.
That's right. Rudolph Giuliani, mayor of New York. He was already in a leadership position. George Bush was already in a leadership position. But no one more than him had leadership really thrust upon him than that man did. And most people would agree that he did an absolutely phenomenal job of leadership for the city of New York. But that can happen to all of us in our family. When the blackout happens, your kids look up at you and go, what are we going to do? So I want you to remember that what we're teaching you here is from a leadership point of view to those who you're responsible for. You know, people who are listening to this are going to keep on wondering, what's he bumping into? Next slide, please. Why do you want to be prepared? You got to be prepared mentally, as we talked about with attitude. You got to have the knowledge we're going to talk about. You need some of the items that we're going to talk about. Little things, some pots, some pans. It's just cheap stuff. It's expedient stuff that's in your house already. The other thing you got to do that I'm talking about is you got to practice it. Now, how many people here were at the last class, and how many people actually did something? How many people made the tortillas or the flatbread or something that we had at the last class at home? No one is raising their hands. But you never did it at home.
But I bought the items.
You bought the items.
I bought the food to have.
You bought the food.
And I also, yes.
But you were the one who was helping me here, too, so you knew how to do it.
And I bought some bulbs.
Yes. Good.
Like in a flashlight. Costco.
It's very important. The thing I want you to remember, I'm going to show you some things on how to do some things real simple here. You really need to try it at home. You're not going to be prepared just because I taught you something. You might remember some of the details, and some of them might help you. But what I'm going to show you with some of the food technology, you really got to practice it. It doesn't take much, 10, 15 minutes, half hour.
Food technology,
absolutely. Because I'm going to teach you the principles. I'm not teaching you that you have to have a certain... I'm going to tell you you got to have a heat source underneath the sink. That's it. However you want to put the heat source underneath of it, it's fine. Three bricks in a cast iron skillet, it'll work. Nice thing about big disasters, your neighbor's house and fences and everything is down. You can go get their 2x4s, and you can cook with it real nice. It becomes a resource, okay? Good question. That man gets 2 cards when I get back there. 1, 2. You got to practice it because you got to have it between your ears. You know where we are now? We're in the police training room of the Warren Police Department. You know why they have a training room? To train. So when it happens, it's like this for them. They reach out and they do it. They just grab their knowledge and they go with it. So it's very appropriate where we're getting our training. You got to practice some of the stuff you got to have between your ears. See the look on that girl's face? That's of agony. Does she look happy? That could be your family member. You're having to deal with that in your family. And at the same time, you're going to try to figure out how to make a tortilla in a skillet. You're going to figure out where your stuff is and what you're going to do. You better know where your stuff is and what you're going to do. And you better know how to use it. I'd rather have you have 2 days worth of stuff and know how to use it inside and out than for you to have entire years worth of stuff and not have a clue. I have people tell me all the time, I got 1,000 pounds of wheat and I don't know how to do a darn thing. Well, I'll tell you what, you'll be able to feed the birds. I would rather you have 2 days worth of stuff or knowledge and know how to use it cold than I would for you to have an entire year's worth and not a clue. You're dealing with this. This is a disaster. You're dealing with dead people. You're dealing with people traumatized. When rescue doctors go to foreign countries for earthquakes and floods and disasters, do you know what? They take antibiotics and they take other medicines, pain relievers. Do you know what they take equally as much as all the other medicines I just mentioned?
Right.
No. Antipsychotics. Valium. Haldol. People are traumatized. The world has been turned upside down instantaneously like this little girl's did with the tornado. And she's the one having to comfort her sister. There's you people and they'll just lose it. They won't be functional in a major disaster. They won't know what time it is, what way it is. And we don't know who in your family is going to do that. It could be me. It could be you. The smallest, frailest person in here could be the strongest because of her attitude or his attitude in a disaster. So the last thing you want to do is be figuring out the stuff about food and water when you're dealing with the more important stuff like this. Don't forget, practice some of the things I'm talking about if you're serious. It is simple. Next slide, please. Why are we in CERT? We're a part of the Civilian Emergency Response Team, or we want to be, and we're here learning about this stuff to make us better prepared. This picture up here on the screen is of firefighters, police. There's even a National Guard guy here, and they're around a house that's torn down from the Oklahoma City tornado. Can you 100% depend on these people? How many of you here were at the Weapons of Mass Destruction drill? How many hours did it take for the guys in the level A suits to get in and get to you? Long damn time. Not because of the quality of the men are excellent. They're coming up to speed in this area. It wasn't part of their job description. It's becoming it now. When you're in a wide area disaster and a blackout affecting 50 million people and you're in the middle of Timbuktu, are these guys going to come for you? I mean, you got no way of communicating, I mean, let alone you don't have a way of communicating and say, hey, come help me. You're going to be stuck. You're going to have to take care of yourself. It could be hours, days, or weeks before help really gets to you for your situation. Now, we're all in CERT because each one of our bodies here can go do something that can free up some of these guys so they can go do what they're supremely trained for. You know, that's why we're here. We're here to help out so more of those men, those firefighters, can go and do rescue. So the more we help these guys, the better. Your world can change pretty quickly. This is a photograph of the dust cloud heading towards a running crowd from 9/11 from the Trade Center falling. See this guy right here? He's a police officer. He's running the same way everyone else is. How many of you remember your training here from Mark Fournier at the fire department? I'm going to do my best Mark Fournier if I can. He said, if you serve people, see a bunch of firefighters running that way, Try to keep up. If you see us running, it's because we're going away from something very bad. Don't sit there and look the other way. Follow us. Okay? They leave so they can come back and rescue. Okay? Same thing here. These people didn't know what was going to happen that day. I'd like to have a dust cloud 1,000 foot high going 30 miles an hour chasing you down. The blackout happened in a moment's notice. You had no idea. Many people didn't even know what was going on. Oh, the power's out. They didn't know it was multi-state. It can change. Well, the next, whatever you're learning here, you're going to have to use. It's going to happen to you quickly. You're not going to have a slow buildup of knowledge like, you know, a movie plot. It's instantaneous. That's what you have to plan on. Now, there's another picture of the dust cloud from above. It's just monstrous. Oh, and any type of nuclear detonation, it'll be bigger. Dust will be everywhere. The ground shakes. All the dust comes up. You won't be able to see. It'll be just like this dust cloud. Visibility gone instantaneously. No traffic, no nothing. I love this guy. Does he have attitude or what? This is a photograph of a man sitting in the remains of his house after a tornado. The house is gone. He's sitting on a chest. He's looking at everything around him. Now, we talked about some things about stuff. Will this help this man, this little blinky and flashing strobe light? Will this help this man in this situation? You know, let's pretend that these emergency service vehicles aren't behind him, okay? He's in the middle of nowhere, sitting in the middle of the ruins of his house. What could have this man have that is a resource to him in this situation?
Attitude,
yes. But what could he physically have? What is an actual item of a stuff, a thing that he actually might have on him that is of help to him in this situation? Why? The towers are gone. Where's my... Yes, very good. I'm going to take one of you. I'll take one of your cards if you don't have one. Who said pocket knife?
Right now he has his health.
He's got everything, but he's got his health. This little pocket knife, why is this thing not a stuff? Why is this not a thing? Because it makes other things. It's a tool. You can use this to cut, to shape, to move around, to do whatever you want. I'm holding up a little 3-inch bladed $1 pocket knife that I got at a flea market. I hate Swiss Army knives. I hate Leatherman's and multi-tools. I think they're about worthless, and they give you a false sense of security. You got your Leatherman with you, so you feel good. I don't like little blades, like a nice 3-inch blade that you can cut, carve, scrape, you know, run across metal, slice through insulation. I like a good blade that you can put some pressure on. A dollar blade is just fine. It doesn't need to be an expensive thing. I'm holding up a pair of gloves here. Why are these a very valuable tool? What makes these so valuable for this man in the middle of this?
Fireproof.
No. What the gloves do, there's a lot of sharp things there and rough things. The gloves turn these, your hands, now are into tools. You prevent your hands from being cut, scraped, scratched, sliced, and that's what the gloves do. Your hands are now tools. You can pick up heavy things. You can pick up things that are broken and jagged, and you can rearrange things to become resources for you. What does this man have sitting up here? What is this man going to need tonight? Okay, if he's stuck there in the middle of the night, now what's he going to need, first of all? Some type of shelter, maybe, if it's going to be cold. Water, food. What does he have around him? What do you see in this picture here that is of use to him? Expedience some of the fence. Your house got turned upside down. Hey, yeah, you can make a fire with all that wood. Oops, I'm sorry. I'll give you that one. You make a fire with some of the wood that's around you. What else do you see that could be useful? Make a shelter out of that. No, that's a trunk he's sitting on, but you know that could be some sort of shelter. You can put things into it. Blankets. He's got blankets. There's a pillow. Someone else said.
What if he doesn't have matches?
Oh, hold a stick up high enough. Hold for a lightning bolt. I don't. He's got his eyeglasses. There you go. What, you can do something with those eyeglasses. So, you see what I'm talking about? I want you to look at the things. Why am I going through some of this philosophy in a food discussion? I want you to look at the things on the shelf of your grocery store and in your cupboards and your pots and your pans and your plates and your knives and your forks and your spoons. I want you to look at them with a different set of eyes. I want you to look at them with a different set of eyes as if that disaster just came down upon you, or you're this man sitting in the middle of what was once his house. Whoever said this man's got his health, yeah, you said he's got his health, okay? That's the most important thing. He's standing there breathing. And he's got that, he's got his attitude. One, two cards.
What's in the box
he's slept on? His dog. I don't know. Next slide, please. Threats. Threats that could make you need your food, your water that we're going to talk about, your gloves, your knife. It's a nice list of threats, isn't it? How many of you, I bet you never thought of some of these. We have a kinetic energy incident. That's a plane hitting something. A lot of mass, a train derailing, a car hitting something, physical force, buildings collapses, kinetic energy incident, large chemical exothermic incident. We got a gas truck that just spilt again on I-75, released a bunch of energy in the form of combustion. A deflagration would be a simple explosion. A detonation would be something severe like C4 as a detonation wave. Airborne chemical release, terrorism, accident, truck, train accident. I've been into train accidents with clouds of chemicals coming towards the city in the EOC, and the director is debating whether or not to evacuate the city. That man was underneath some pressure. Mass chemical attack in tens of thousands. Someone sprays a chemical at the U of M Stadium. You have now instantaneously 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 chemical casualties. That happened here. We're here. It's going to create a great deal of panic, even in our city, of concern. People are just going to stop what they're doing and watch television. Mass food poisoning. This has happened before in some cities. Once it was intentional. What would you do? What would you think? You're sitting there watching television, and you hear about 63 people in Warren and another 383 people confirmed dead in the Detroit area. And they were found lying on the ground holding soda containers, 7-Eleven cups, big gulps, or soda bottles, or anything. What would you think that would do to you if you saw that in the news? Well, not just 7-Eleven or anyone else, any convenience store. Okay, one was a 7-Eleven cup, one was another cup from another store.
You don't want to
drink. You're going to be pretty nervous about putting anything to your lips, aren't you?
Yep.
Mass food poisoning. Weather, hurricane, flood, tornado, blizzard, the obvious stuff. Earthquake, forest fire, firestorm, airborne biological infection. No one's leaving wherever they are. You don't want to leave home. You don't want to go outside. You don't want to go to the grocery store. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to go to the bank. You just don't want to leave. What are you going to do when you get hungry and thirsty? Well, you won't get thirsty because your water will still be running probably. You're going to get hungry. That can happen quickly. That can happen as soon as 3 days or less, okay? You'll be so scared, you don't want to leave your house. Multi-state blackout. Remember my last class? I talked about five counties being out. You go, no. I go, forget that. How about five states being out? You go, no, never happened. 50 million people went out, you know, a month and a half later. Multi-state blackout. Nuclear detonation. In a neighboring city, Detroit, boom. It wouldn't affect us here that much, but the infrastructure would be down, power would be down, you're not going anywhere. Even if there wasn't any radiation threat against you, that's a threat. Massive rioting, civil unrest. This always happens during blackouts and anything else. Your water just don't work. What are you going to do if your water don't work? People in Novi and Livonia, their water didn't work during the blackout. Ours did. We had a trickle coming through. We could at least flush our toilets and get some wash water. Well, how would you feel being at home, just the water not working? Even the electricity's working. The water's not working. What are you going to do?
I'm not
That's right. That's right. Whole stock for this man. Yeah.
That's where my water is at right now.
Yeah, downstairs in the basement in the case. That's exactly what you're going to do. No. Good forever. I'll go through it. Oh. The lady says it's got an expiration date. She believes everything she reads. I had a girlfriend like that. Believed everything she read. It doesn't matter what I said. I was an expert on it. Well, the sign says this. You know what I did one day? I put a sign up. It said, all women, 5'7", with short black hair, this colored eyes, and names are this, must passionately kiss the person upon entering the house. Well, she believed and read every sign she said, so I figured I'd make something to my advantage. Now, the expiration date on the water doesn't matter. We'll cover that in detail shortly. Communications failure, sunspots, cyber terrorism, EMP pulse, sunspots. No telephone, no cell phones, no internet. That would make life kind of interesting, wouldn't it? Your power's still on, but you can't call anyone. That can happen. Happened during the blackout. You had your phones. You didn't have your cell phones. After another day, you wouldn't have had your main phone line either. How do you think it's going to be with no cell phones, no landlines? It'll make life very interesting. Cyber terrorism. Sniper. Sniper can incapacitate a population through fear. Large area contamination. Let's say the I-75, 696 major intersection corridors were contaminated with something. You couldn't drive through them. That's an area of denial. That can affect you. The effects of all these disasters is that they remove infrastructure. They remove basically your water, your power, your communications. Just, you know, you got to be prepared for just your stuff going, your major infrastructure going away. It doesn't matter what's going to cause it. People kept on asking me during the blackout, well, what caused the blackout? I don't know. It doesn't matter. We have to deal with what we have now. What causes is irrelevant. I'm dealing with the effect of it. Next slide, please. Okay, no lights, no water, no sewage, no AC, no refrigeration, no traffic lights, no radios, no television, no heat. This is what happens when your power goes out. No communications, no cell phones, no landlines, no ATMs, no banks, no Visa cards, no gas pumps, no refineries, no trucks coming with deliveries because they run on diesel fuel. Everyone wants to go to the grocery store and they're at 1/10 capacity because their power system isn't up. No alarm systems, police overwhelmed, people figure out, hey, the alarm systems aren't working, we can go break into here. You are alone. What else is missing? What did I leave out of here? What else are you missing?
No ice.
No ice. No refrigerator. That's no refrigerator. What else are you missing? Did I miss anything? You have no way to contact. There's no communications. No way to contact the police. What else am I missing?
EMS, fire.
You can't go to EMS security. If you have fire, police, and EMS can't come to you. And a friend of mine, during Isabel, she was one of my pupils. She's very well prepared. She went through Isabel for 3 days. I was talking to her on the phone. You know what happened? Her son was riding his bike. And he fell down and hurt himself. Scraped him up pretty bad. Road rash, okay? There was only one person around to really treat him. That was her. She had a first aid kit. She had the knowledge. She took care of her son. Perfect example. There's no EMS. You got to have your CPR class. You got to have your little medical first aid kit. You got to know how to use your little medical first aid kit. And you got to keep your wits about you and your attitude. No one but you. Andrew is a perfect example. Andrew was a huge area of devastation. EMS couldn't even find your street. The signs were gone. Leadership for your family is suddenly and violently thrust upon you. Okay? Game on now. 9/11, 8/14, who knows, 2004. The disaster happens now. You have nothing in your house. You haven't gone through any of my classes. You want to go to the grocery store with everyone else. The radio says, power transformers are on fire in 16 states. They're ain't going to fix this thing for 2 months. Everyone else is hearing this. You're going, oh, I need a bunch of food. I need a bunch of this stuff. You're going to the grocery store. Everyone, get out their wallets and tell me how much money you have on you. Don't worry, we're in a police station. Come on, open up, get out your wallet. I want to, you know, the person with the most and the least gets cards. I want you to know, I want you to tell me exactly how much money. ATMs aren't working. Visa cards aren't working. All the money you got is all you got to get food.
142.
I got 142 is my highest. I got $1 is my lowest. A nickel.
I got enough to eat for 3 weeks.
You enough what?
Enough to eat for 3 weeks.
Good for you. I'll give you a card just for that. Enough to eat for 3 weeks.
You're counting what we got at home, too?
No. Yeah, money stashed in the house does count, but I'm really, most people don't have money stashed in the house. We do know where you live. No, how much? Who had the least?
I have a bankroll over here. I have 43.
How much do you have?
He has a bankroll. 435.
Yeah,
430. I think this man's going to win with $435. Okay, who's got the least? Come on, what were some of the numbers you had? 20, 30, 40?
9, 41.
9, 70, 20, 21.
49.
1325. How would you like to try to run to the grocery store and get food with $13.25, $21.82, $42? How would you like to go to the grocery store and try to get food for a week or 2 weeks or a month with $42? And what about gas? I mean,
we can basically see.
Well, yeah, you have plenty of time walking. You see my point? Let me go this way. If you don't have it before the disaster, you ain't going to get it. Question?
Yeah, one thing that occurred to me as you were talking, because I thought, who cares? It's immaterial how much you have in your wallet until I realized that you may be away from your home.
You may be away from you. You may be traveling in California. And all you just packed with the American Express.
You may be
10 miles away from home. It don't matter.
That's it. You may be 10. That's the point. You may be 10 or even 5 miles away from home. If you got to get to the grocery store.
Right now.
You can't get home in there in time to get what you may need.
That's right. If you're 10 miles from the grocery store and you got to get there right now, and you're 20 miles from home, you got $30 in your wallet, that's all you're going to get. And you're on empty. There's no magical rainbow dropping stuff on top of you for food and water. If you don't have it and you can't get it right away, it ain't there. We're in a land of plenty. You're used to getting anything at your convenience. That all changed during the blackout. Who had the smalls? Was it you, Lisa? If you win, you can give it to who you like. Next slide, please. Can everyone see this picture? I took it. You know what it is? That's Kroger. That's Kroger after the lights came on. Not during the blackout. It's after the lights are on at Kroger. They were out for 15 hours. And this was the line after the panic. For those listening on the audio, the store is packed. You can walk across their shoulders. Next slide. The line is going all the way down the aisles. I mean, this is after. How would you like to be in this with $36? How many of you saw this during the blackout? 2 people out of 40 raised their hands. Okay? This is what happens, only worse. Okay? The blackout was short. Next slide. Actual photograph of empty bread shelves at Kroger after the blackout. Next slide. What are the five things that go bye-bye on a store shelf before blizzards, hurricanes, and disasters?
Water.
She said flour. No, not flour.
Batteries.
Next slide, please. Oreos. No, that's a joke. Next slide. Just once. Well, it's okay. It's loading. It's a big file. Hang on, it's taking a minute. My little computer is trying to load the next picture, and it's sizable. Oh, here we go. Bread. It's supposed to happen automatically. It is. Aha, water, milk, canned goods, lunch meats. Those are the five things that disappear quickly off the shelf of the store. Historically, that is what disappears. Batteries, yeah, of course, that's incidental. Can't eat the batteries.
I have all that in my basement.
Wait, great.
Water. Absolutely no one in this room should be running to the store for water from this day on. Your actions tomorrow are dictated by the decisions you make today. You're all going to make a certain few decisions today, okay? Oh, you see this? This is a picture of the line up the aisle. See where, what this is? You know what was there? Look, the Perrier's left. That's where the water was. Okay? It's gone. Speaking of water, what is your preparedness inventory?
Water.
Who said knowledge? Your preparedness inventory. The most important thing to have in your inventory is what is between your ears. Okay? Don't forget, your inventory is not just food and knives and shotguns and AK-47s. Your inventory is food, water, medical items, and what's between you. That lady with her girl underneath the overpass on the tornado? Only inventory she's carrying is what's between her ears. Oops! What's the most important thing to have in your inventory?
Clothing.
I skipped ahead to the next slide. Clothing. For those of you who were in the last class, the most important thing to have in your inventory, I don't want to stress water so much. It's important. Clothing's your mobile personal shelter, as Jim Phillips calls it. This is a 21-hour class in itself. I'll give it to you in about 3.5 hours. A 40-degree and rain is almost as bad as a 10-degree day and wet. I mean, 40 degrees and wet is almost as bad as 10 and dry. At 10 degrees Fahrenheit, you need about as much water as you do as when it's 100 degrees outside. Pat Bosey was at the WMD disaster drill. It was 60 degrees outside, 55 degree water being sprayed on him for decontamination with 10 mile per hour wind. He was shivering instantly. They almost called a safety stop and had to warm him up.
Figure that with me too.
That was cold.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is a photograph of a friend of mine, Dr. Pat Cutt. We're out doing winter camping. And we're doing this in a blizzard. Let's see, what is the most important item when properly... Yeah, what is the important, most important item for you to have once you're properly clothed?
Water.
Who said water? Yeah, you get another card. It's water. What are people most lacking in the preparedness? What do I, when I go and do a review of someone's shelter system and their supplies and stuff, I'll see a year or two worth of food.
No water.
They're missing water. I have seen people with 2 years worth of food and about 2 weeks worth of water. You know where they were? Arizona. Doesn't make sense to have 2 years. Nearest lake is 40 miles away. The water's 1,000 feet down. And they didn't have a well. So, where is this? This, you know where this is? This is Phoenix. Next slide. in the desert. Okay, this is in Tucson. Some people I was doing some shelter work with. We went off and we got 10 55-gallon drums, recertified, cleaned them out. They were $20 a piece. In the desert. Okay, we're in Michigan. We got this thing around here called Great Lakes. They're all fresh water. In the desert, when you're out of water, you're dead. You will die. If you can't find any more, you will die. Are we running close to the tape running out?
8 minutes.
Okay, so mobile personal shelter is number one. Then, water. Okay, but what is water? Water. Who can tell me what is really, when I say your preparedness is water, what do I really mean? No. No, I don't. What's water? What really is water when I say water? When I say I want you to have water, I mean I want you to have everything that you need to obtain, carry, store, purify, and consume. That's what water is. It's all those. It's not just having the inventory of it. How much water on an average day like today, 70 degrees, you're resting, you're not working, how much water do you need per day? How do you calculate how much you need to store?
Gallon.
No.
Gallon per person.
That's good. The perfect answer. Gallon per person. How do you break down that gallon per person? How much do you need for drinking? Next slide. About a half a gallon a day at 70 degrees Fahrenheit with no work. That's how much you need to consume about in a day. It'll be a quart to a half a gallon, depending who you are, what you're doing, what your medical condition is. You need about a half a gallon of water other for cooking, some light bathing and washing. The people with you will let you know when you need to bathe. So a gallon a day is the rule of thumb. And don't try to go below half a gallon a day. If it's going to be hot, or cold, what do you need?
Much more
water. Significantly more water. People in Arizona, in Phoenix, in the summertime, working outside, will consume 5 to 6 gallons of water a day. Okay? In the wintertime, what's your question?
How come you need more when it's cold?
Because you're losing, why do you need more water when you're cold? Because you're losing water through your respiration. You're breathing out your water very quickly. Water is also the regulatory mechanism for your body's heat generation. When you start starving yourself of water, you kill your cooling capacity in the desert, and you're reducing your heating capacity in the cold. Your body runs on water. Your question? Yes, it does. Go ahead and ask questions anywhere through the seminar, okay? I forgot.
If you can't get water, is other fluid just as good or not?
Is other fluid just as good as water? What's worse than water? What would you never drink?
Alcohol.
Salty.
Caffeinated beverages, okay? You would never drink that if you didn't have water. Because it increases your thirst. You know what else? What else don't you do ever if you don't have water?
Anything.
She said eat salty stuff. That's not what I'm getting at. What don't you do?
Exercise should be over.
Well, you don't exert much.
Right.
Well, what do you really not do? You don't eat.
You don't eat.
If you don't have water, don't eat. You'll die quicker. It takes liquid for the body to process the food into glucogen and energy for your body. You're not going to eat if you don't have water, period. You'll wish you didn't shortly.
Do you ever ration water? How much? If you're thirsty and you got a limited amount of water, how much would you drink at any one time? Would you drink the whole bottle right here? You're thirsty? You run outside and this is all you got? Are you going to drink this whole thing real quickly?
A couple of sips.
Sips, yeah. A couple of ounces. A couple of sips.
Capful.
Yeah, about a mouthful. A mouthful every 4 or 5 minutes. What happens when you drink water too quickly?
You cramp.
No, you don't cramp.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah, right. Why do you go to the bathroom? Passes through you too quickly. You want it to pass through you slowly so it absorbs into your bloodstream. You don't want it to go through your kidneys. So that's why you're drinking water, slowly sipping, restrain yourself. It makes your water go further. Do you ever ration water? If you only have enough water for 2 days, do you stretch it out to 8? Never. You drink what you need and you find more. Otherwise, you won't make it to the point where you're going to find more. Okay, we're going to pause for a moment. Stay in your seats. I got a break coming up. We got to swap tapes. How's it working?
Good.
Open one of those tapes for me, please. Power just went out again. What's going on here? I think there's a loose connection here. Okay, turn this one. Safety, this one. I guess we gotta label these things 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. Oh, I turned the camera off. That's why it went off. Duh. Is this going pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start her up. Okay.
It's part of the Navy training when you're out there in those little rafts.
You've had Navy training?
You're not going to make it unless you keep that water supply as long as you can. You're out there, it's the number of days you can live, not the days.
That's right. Okay, we got some clarification here for you. Water, okay, rationing. We're talking about water rationing, and I said, do you ever ration water? And I said, no, you drink what you need, and you find more later. The gentleman was speaking about naval training, being on a life raft in the middle of nowhere. How much water are you going to need in that life raft per day?
2 5-gallon cans.
2 5-gallon cans, he says, is in there. You're going to drink on the boat what you need minimally. That's going to be between a quart and 2 quarts per day. You're going to have to look at your urine output. You're going to have to look at your attitude. Are you becoming disillusioned? Are you becoming mentally, are you losing it? Your partners with you will tell you. If you're out in the sea, it's a different situation. But you have to take in the minimum amount of water every day. You can't go down to a thimbleful a day. It won't do you any good. You got to take in the minimum amount of water. Otherwise, you won't make it. If you're hydrated, then you'll have, and you run out of water, you'll have about 7 days of life. You'll have about 4 days of extreme thirst, 3 days of disillusionment. You won't even remember it until you die. You've got to take the minimum amount of water in. It's like half teacups. You saw the Flight of the Phoenix and everything. That don't work. If you're in the ocean, you got to know. You got to know how to get more water. You get more water in the ocean by eating fish, by eating their eyeballs, by drinking the blood of the turtle. Sea turtles have kept people alive. I've read about every book out there of a whale hit our ship, or we sunk and we're in our life raft 30 seconds later, and we're out there for 6 months or 60 days. I've read about each and every one of those books of people being stranded at sea. You have to drink what you need, what you can get. And if it rains and you got an abundance of water, you hydrate yourself like crazy. You flush your body with water. Well, they capture it in the raft. But just remember this, okay? You have to drink your minimum requirement of water per day. It's not you're satisfying your mental thirst. You're satisfying the body's physical test that you know by looking at your urine, your state, and everything else. That'll be between a quart, 2 quarts per person per day. Question.
Is it a dumb enough question to lose a card to ask what you're checking for in your urine?
Well, you don't really have a test strip there. No urine output. Okay. Absolutely no urine output would be a bad sign. Severe, severe yellow, darker yellow than you've ever seen would be a bad sign of them. Question.
Not to get really weird, but in extreme conditions like that, can you drink your own urine?
Can you drink your own urine?
It's been done.
Did you get a card for that question?
I did. It's beyond the scope of this class. There is a certain amount of salt water you can mix with your fresh water, and it will help extend your hydration. You can actually mix like a quarter salt water with 3/4 fresh water, and it'll have the osmotic pressure of a beer. So what you don't want to do, you don't want to throw off. You can't drink fresh salt water. You throw off your osmotic pressure in your body. Someone will get 5 cards if they can answer this question. What is one way you can get or take in water on the ocean and it's salt water? No. What's one way you can purify and take in salt water? Yeah, you can, but I'm not talking about desalinization. You don't have it. You get 1 card for that. Huh? This is very, very, very little known. I'm helping a person right now across the Pacific in a small boat.
Condensation?
No. What's one way you can take in salt water into your body and hydrate yourself? This lady might be able to answer it. She's a nurse. What's one way you can take salt water into your body and hydrate yourself? You ain't going to like the answer. Other end. Enema. You did?
Yeah.
The colon is designed to recover moisture from the food being processed. And
how are you
going to
do that, though?
Beyond the scope. The answer was enema, saltwater enema. Sure beats dying. Next slide. Where is the water in your house? If I said, okay, right now, disaster started, blackout. I'm going to beat you, okay? Just be quiet. Hey, you're ruining it for everyone else.
Fill it up.
If I said you need to fill up 100 gallons of water in 30 minutes right now, how are you going to do it?
Bathtub.
People are, okay. But my question to you is, if you 100 gallons in 30 minutes, how are you going to do it in your house? You still got your water pressure. Most everyone's saying bath. How many people say bathtub? Next slide. Wow, hang on.
The problem is I wouldn't be able to lift the garbage bag out of that.
Wrong, not your bathtub.
No, I'm not going to answer that one, but I got a question for you.
Yeah, question.
So if you're stuck in the middle of the ocean on a life raft, how are you going to do an enema?
Tubing in bags, or you bring one with you. I think it was the Robinson family. They improvised one from some tubing they had and a plastic bag. They improvised it. Basically, you fill the tube, you stick it into a reservoir of water someone else is holding up, and the tube gets inserted and it siphons out and goes in. Wrong. Why is this wrong? You want to fill up this bathtub full of water?
What is that?
It's a bathtub in a place in the abandoned house in Detroit.
Yeah.
I went and found it just for this class. The bathtub only holds 30 to 40 gallons. I said 100 gallons. How are you going to really fill it up? Oh, you say your bathtub is clean? You got filled up full of drinking water? You got all these cleaning products in here? see the medical section of a presentation for, you know, what's going to happen to you if you drink water with these solvents in it. Some people are saying the answer already. The way you store water in your house quickly. The disaster happened, you know you're going to need a bunch of water, you want 100 gallons, you use trash bags, unscented, untreated, in boxes, drawers. You might even throw them in the bathtub. Here we have 55-gallon trash bags. Got them at Costco. 50 of them for 10 bucks. Got a couple thousand gallons of water right here. Fill them up, leave them, let them lay outside.
They don't have anything in those bags, any chemicals?
No. These are untreated.
Why do you say it's not for food storage?
Yeah, you can't put your food there.
They're treated. The treated ones you can't. The pure plain Jane trash bags, you can put your food, you can put your water into them just fine. You know what? That is an absolutely wonderful, original idea I've not heard of. Who said washing machine? One, two, three. No one had ever told me to fill your washing machine up. That is a great idea of a place you can put a bunch of water real quickly. Fill up, right, your water tank, it's hard to get the water out of it. You gotta drill a hole in it. It's. You ever seen the inside of a hot water tank? You normally don't drink the water of your hot water tank. Yeah. You fill it in place. You don't lift it. You fill it right there, and then you go scoop it out with a cup when you need it. You're not going
to
fill it outside with the garden hose. Right in the middle of winter. Okay, we got a break coming up in a minute. Hush. Plastic totes. You know, everyone know what a plastic tote is? 22-gallon tote. About $3 to $4. That's the cheapest dollar value per gallon of anything you're going to buy. Filling those up with water is a great way to store water. Kiddies pools, well, I just corrected myself. Don't stack them at all. Kiddie pools. You can buy an inflatable kiddie pool for $15. It'll hold 300 gallons of water. I got my friends in Arizona. They have kiddie pools they get for $15 and put them into their shelter because if they need to fill up a bunch of water real quickly, like if it rains or it's pre-crisis and they know it's coming, they can fill up a bunch of water very, very inexpensively. What is the best and cheapest way to store water for your home needs?
Container.
Lowest dollar cost per container. Free.
Pop bottles.
Who said pop bottles? Yeah, you did. Right here. Pop bottles. Soda bottles. This is a photograph of soda bottles from my personal collection and inventory. Yeah, good. That's a good thing. Have them in your freezer. Soda bottles. How do you store water in soda bottles? Do you have to put any chlorine in them or anything? Any Clorox?
No.
Rinse them out. Cold water. Get the soda out of them. Fill them up. Tap them. I don't even recommend using soap. Fill them up and cap them. Now, since there's no expiration date on these bottles, how often do you have to change your water?
Never.
Yes, question.
Hey, Steve, we have a question. On the bottle of water that you buy in the store.
Yeah.
My wife bought some from King Art or something, and it has expiration dates on it. Why would they?
You know what I saw? I'll tell you. They asked me why they put expiration dates on water. I was in the grocery store. And I had to buy some dog biscuits for my neighbor's dog because it was being annoying, and I wanted to make friends with it. They have an expiration date on the dog biscuits. This is an animal that licks its own rear end, and they have an expiration date on dog biscuits. I don't get it. It's in our society. They put an expiration date on everything.
Yep.
Mostly they put date codes on there and manufacturing codes so they know when it was manufactured in case there's a recall problem. Okay?
Yeah, no,
this bottle of so-and-so's water with this expiration date is a good way to find and identify. But look at that bottle of water. There's other codes on it, too, probably. So what? The water, it doesn't matter.
That's what I mean.
Question.
Can we not use well water?
Oh, well water is a little bit more of a difficult issue, but basically, just take soda bottles, put your well water in it, and check it. See, make sure there's nothing, there shouldn't be anything growing. In fact, it should be better than city water. There's enough chlorine in city water that won't cause any problem. What's the enemy of storing water? What causes problems in it?
Leakage.
Well, leakage, yes, but soda bottles, you don't ever store in milk cartons. Those deteriorate, okay? Soda bottles of polyethylene terephthalate, they won't degrade. What causes your water to theoretically go bad? What could happen to it? No, not the sun. Contamination, but what's contamination? You got bacteria growth. That's what you don't want, okay? What do you have to have bacteria growth? You got to have a growth medium, sugars or other organic material. So if you have a clean soda bottle and you put clean water into it, you're not going to get a contamination issue or a problem with it. It ain't going to go old or get bad. So that's what you make sure everything is washed out well. I mean, there's no bacteria going through the polyethylene terephthalate walls of that bottle to cause, you know, to contaminate the water. Question?
You mentioned don't use milk cartons. I'm using plastic milk jugs.
Forget it. Yeah. No, use them to flush your toilet and wash your hands. The milk jugs deteriorate naturally, and you cannot rinse out the milk. And so what you're doing is you're leaving the growth medium in there. Don't use milk jugs. Question.
If you drink out of that pop bottle and then you put the cap back on, would it ever go bad?
The question was, if I take this bottle of stored water and I drink out of it, I cap it and put it back away, will I have just contaminated this and will it go bad? Did I introduce a growth medium? A significant level. Yeah, I might have bacteria in my mouth, but how about a growth medium? I don't have anything for them to grow in. They're just still in water. There's no other nutrients for them to feed upon and to get and to grow further. If I had sugar in here, or a leaf or something, organic material, that would probably be a growth medium. No. Pretty much, once you open your water and you start drinking it, you're going to finish the bottle in a couple of days anyways. No way to what? No growth medium. No growth medium. Good question, though. Good question. Let's see. It's 8 o'clock now. Just use city tap water. Oh, I had a girlfriend. And she loved Evian. And she drank 1.5 liter bottles all the time. I just had her save all her bottles for me. I have 18 cases and 12 bottles in each case of 1.5 liter Evian. That's how you accumulate your water. You just do it slowly. You finish a soda bottle, you rinse it out, you fill it up, and you put it in your storage. Pretty soon you'll have more, you'll have too much. You'll be giving it to your kids or your neighbors, or throwing it out, or actually returning it for the refund. Your preparedness inventory is a slow, steady growth. It's something you do every day, every week, every month. It's not something you just don't generally go buy a whole bunch of it right now. You got to practice this. That's why it's so important. Oh, if you want a bunch of water real quickly for storage, 15, 30, and 55-gallon containers. I got the business cards up here in Detroit. We were blessed with a wonderful company called Maxi Container Corporation. They're down in Detroit. They'll sell you a 15-gallon food-grade water barrel for $15. A 30-gallon is, I think, $25, and a 55-gallon, $35, is only $35. It's a great price. They don't mind selling to individuals. So if you want to have a couple 55s or 15s in your basement, you use a blue poly food grade drum. Question.
Yeah.
You can take a garbage container, line it with plastic, and then close it. Yeah, you can use an $8 33-gallon garbage container to store water if you so desire.
There's a question back there.
Question.
55-gallon drum.
Yeah.
Hard to handle. How would you get the water out of it? Other than, you know.
There's a siphon pump, or you can use a hose. And anyone used to a 55-gallon drum, you can wheel them around.
you can kick them around. But generally you fill them up and you leave them in place. But they'll sell you a siphon pump as well, a little pump, and you get the water out, or a hose.
There's a camping faucet that you can put on it. Also,
lines right
in.
You can use a that's what you got.
Table.
Yeah, you put a camping faucet on it. Believe me, if you're thirsty, you will find ways to get the water out easily. You'll put a hole. You'll put a straw in there and go like this. Okay,
you will. I'm saying, 55-gallon drum is a lot of weight.
Right? Yeah, it is. That's why I kind of like the 15s. I kind of like the 15s. Yeah, well, I got a 55 sitting down in the corner. I just forgot about it. It's just there for when I need it.
Is that the place underneath that
Mount
Olive Bridge or
kind of goes to Curry? No. It's the end of Mount Road.
Yeah, Bridge.
Oh, yeah, I guess there is one. Yeah, there is one there. Maxi container. You want blue food grade drums. They're high density polyethylene. They're brand new. They're rated for food storage. Rinse them out once with some water. There's some plastic smell in there. You do that once, fill them up, they're just fine. Question?
If you store in that garbage bag outside, and the sun keeps...
If the garbage bag is hitting the sun outside?
Yeah.
You wouldn't store it for years or months out there.
But I mean in the emergency.
No, it'll be fine. In the short term, it'll be just fine sitting out there with the sun coming onto it. You know what you'll have? Warm water. That's one of my areas of specialty is solar, okay? Solar hot water, solar air, solar... I do solar stuff to 8,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You want hot water, you put a black bag inside of a clear bag and fill it full of water and you put it outside. You know how hot it'll get? Summertime? 150, 160, 180? Hot enough to scald you. Just a black bag laying outside on the ground will get nice and warm. Bath water warm. What does a clear bag do to improve the heating up of the black bag? It acts as, what does it do? I was going to say something really technical. It prevents long-wave infrared radiation from going back, being re-radiated back out after the black bag converts all wavelengths of the sunlight into long-wave radiation. Basically, it acts as a little greenhouse. Question?
What about putting a little baking soda in some of that water?
Why?
Upset stomach?
Just baking soda is 10 pounds for $3 at Costco. Just add it as you need it.
Okay. I just treat some of the water so you would know.
No, you would. Don't put anything into the water. I will take cards away. Next slide. Oh, did I have, what did I have there? Oh. Did I cover? Next slide. Water is the water and the stuff to prepare water we talk about. Purifying water, there's only really two ways of doing it. One is to boil the water, and you boil it for 5 to 10 minutes. If you can't boil it, you want to get it to 160 degrees Fahrenheit for 10 minutes. What is getting water to 160 degrees for 10 minutes called? What's the technical name? Pasteurization. Very good. You pasteurize your water if you can't boil it. It won't kill some of the hardier spores like anthrax, but it will get most of the nasties that would get you. The only other way to completely disinfect your water is to use a crystalline iodine treatment. The only one you're going to get your hands on is called Polar Pure. You can get it at REI, and there's an outdoor place in Somerset Mall across from the chocolate factory. I forget their name. But you can go there and get a little bottle of Polar Pure. It'll treat 3,000 quarts of water. Costs about $10 to $12. Now, who can't use iodine for water treatment? Who medically cannot?
My husband's allergic to iodine.
Right. If you're allergic to iodine, how do you know you're allergic to iodine? What can't you eat? Shellfish. You got a shellfish allergy, you can't take in iodine. You'd have to either not do it or carbon filter it out, or you'd have to go to what I don't prefer, which is sodium hypochlorite. Everyone has heard of using unscented, untreated Clorox bleach for purifying water. From the official ready.gov government website, you use 16 drops of 5.25% sodium hypochlorite in 1 gallon of water. Let it sit for 30 minutes. If you can't smell the bleach, you do it again. Bleach degrades over time. It degrades pretty quickly, so you don't know what your real bleach concentration is. That's why I do not like telling people to use bleach to purify water. I'd rather have you understand right from the beginning, you're either going to boil it or you're going to use iodine. You're going to boil it if you get caught without your stuff. If you have your stuff, you'll use iodine if you aren't allergic to iodine. Now, if your water is dirty, it's got a bunch of muck in it, you pulled it out of the river or something, or out of the Great Lakes, how are you going to filter it? What's one of the best ways of filtering your water? Cheesecloth. What? How does Mother Nature filter her water? Why is all the water that comes out of the ground clean?
Sand.
You use the earth to filter it. So what I don't want you to forget, here's a drawing out of a book, a wonderful book done by a wonderful man by the name of Creston Kearney. Spent a good over 10, 20 years of his life writing this book at Oak Ridge National Laboratories. It's called Nuclear War Survival Skills. It is the best book you could have for any disaster, never mind just nuclear. You can get it for free at the website that was up there, usahomelanddefense.com. This drawing is out of this book. This is an earth filter. Forget this drawing. Okay? What am I trying to tell you here? Take a 5-gallon pail, right? Plop. Put pebbles in the bottom of it. Drill holes in the bottom of it. Put pebbles in the bottom of it. Put clay or sand soil above it. Put a bath towel on top of that. Leave some space to put the water. Pour your water in. Let it soak through and drip out the bottom. You'll pour dirty water in the top, and you'll have clean water dripping out of the bottom. Now, that water coming out of the bottom, what do you still have to do to it? You got to pasteurize it, disinfect it. You got to kill the bugs in it. The bugs are still going to go through the water. The bacteria, the viruses, the spores will still go through. An earthen filter, almost any type, sand, clay, dirt, okay? Basically, you're going to put a bath towel, dirt, sand, bath towel, and pour the water in, and it'll clean it up for you. What else can you use to clean up water that's readily available? Guarantee you there's a bunch of them at the police station.
Coffee
filters. Absolutely. Coffee filters are wondrous for cleaning up mucky and dirty water, and they're cheap. You should have some of them at home. I'm having to move along here a little bit faster. Does everyone understand this? Oh, hey, in Michigan, in your house. In your house, where might you find water that you might want to do this to? Not your bathtub either. Where?
A rain barrel.
No, not the rain barrel. Sump pump. Pass that man a couple times. Sump pump is where you're going to find water that's dirty that you might want to clean up. Even if you don't get to do this, don't forget it's good for washing, flushing, and a few other things. What else about water? Where can I get more? If you're out of water, where can you get it? No, not the ground. Where are you going to get the water? Rain! Guy gets another card. So what should you have? What should you understand if you want to collect the water from the rain? No, you don't have to filter it. You got to have a way of catching it. Shower curtain, right? Painter's plastic, tarp, shower curtains, collect it. But, don't look. I forgot what my butt's for. Ah! But, what if it's falling on you like this?
No.
You gotta have a way to melt it. Someone mentioned, a fire. 3 bricks. 2x4s from your neighbor's house, either because he's dead and you ripped them out, or because his house is blown down. You gotta have a way to melt your water. You can get great big pots at Big Lots, 16-quart pots for $10. Coffee cans, aluminum foil, just bunch up aluminum foil with snow in it, put heat underneath it, and melt it. Ziplocs, how would you melt snow in Ziplocs? Put them in your pocket. Put them next to your body, one layer away. Okay? No matter what you do, don't forget you got to have a way to melt your snow, your ice. And we get a fair amount of that in Michigan. It's distilled. Pure and clean. Oh, another way of purifying your water, what's this? Pressure cooker. Gets up to about 260 degrees Fahrenheit. Costs $20 for a 4-quart pressure cooker at Walmart. Just heat it up until it starts blowing steam, turn the heat off. Let it cool down. You'll have wonderfully disinfected water. Bacteria and viruses don't like 260 degrees, and they don't like 15 pounds per square inch of pressure either. Okay? That's a different, remember, look at things differently. Not for what they are, but what they do. Question?
Are you going to prove that last fact you said was during the winter months here?
The question was about the black plastic bag heating the water up in the winter months. I can tell you from my own experimentation that a 2-pane glass solar water heater level to the ground with the incident solar radiation on it in December will get the water up to about 150 degrees Fahrenheit in the wintertime. So you can go up to about 140, 150 in the wintertime with a well-insulated solar heater. Even if it's made out of plastic, it can't be sitting on the ground. You got to have 2 clear bags with 2 air gaps sitting on something insulated like foam, and it will get well over 100 degrees. I have a book I wrote. It's on solar energy for people doing experimentation at home. It's called Sunshine of Dollars. It says it's falling on your head all day long. You might as well do something about it. Okay, moving along. Break! Finally. 10-minute break. I really want you back here in 10 minutes, especially you smokers, because we got to start moving through a bunch of other stuff. We're now going to move into the food section, and this is going to be hands-on and fun. Okay. Do we have any final questions on water before we move on to food? Hey, good. The reason you really came here, food. She's pressing buttons she's not supposed to. Okay. In our list of priorities, we have mobile personal shelter, which is
clothing.
Right. Then we have water, and water is everything you need to find, acquire, carry, store, purify, and consume. That's water. Nutrition. Nutrition. Thanks to Jim Phillips again for some of these outlining of this. Nutrition and food is the same thing that I said about water. It's everything you need to have, store, prepare, eat, and utilize your food. Next slide. I got it. Food. This is what we're going to talk about here. All my recording devices are going. Food, short term, first 3 days to the first week. Basically, this is open and eat. Add water and eat, or fast cook. That's what you want to do. During 9/11, what were you doing most of the time? Sitting at home watching television. You were glued to whatever form of communications you had, which is the way it's going to be in most disasters. During the blackout, you didn't have television. What were you doing?
Directing traffic.
Going for a walk.
Mostly listening to the radio, okay? During a disaster, you're going to be glued to whatever source of information you have flowing at you. Are you really going to have time to sit there and, you know, figure out your shortbread or your fry bread or whatever you're going to do? No, you don't, and you're not really going to have time anyway. You just want to open something and eat it. For all of our CERT people here, how many people got hungry working out traffic or thirsty? Yeah. I was the only one in the EOC that had water or food and anything, you know. I have water and food in my CERT kit. Something I can rip open and eat or open a bottle and drink. What's that?
Were you up there too with Allison? Yeah.
You know how the EOC got food during the disaster? It sent a man with a uniform, a badge, and a gun to the deli that was open with a generator, and he skipped in front of 70 people. And he said, "We want to place an order. We is the City of Warren Police Department." And they said, "Yes, we're happy." Well, we had food catered in. Midterm food, 1 week to 3 weeks. Easy to prepare. Stuff we'll show you here today. Something that you whip up pretty quickly. And this kind of supplements your long-term, and it supplements your short-term. Long-term food, 1 month or more. It extends your midterm food. More prep time, but also it's very inexpensive. It's your staples-based stuff that you use for many weeks or many months. Next slide. I got it. Rotate food or store food? This is the question. What's rotating your food? Yeah, okay, rotate your food is you buy 5 boxes of cereal, you take one off, you buy a new one, you replace the old one.
No, put it in the back.
And put it back, rotate them through. First in, first out. Put dates on them. Do you think I'm really going to recommend that?
No.
It don't work. You know why? You're lazy. You ain't going to do it. You're going to forget. Do you know why smoke detectors are permanently wired into the house? Because people didn't change the batteries. How hard is it to go like that? And they wouldn't do it. Principally, what I want you to do is store food. I'm going to tell you dates and how long things last and let you understand those principles. I want you to store it and put it away, but I want you to do what?
Know where it is.
What's the most important thing about your food or your water or anything?
Keep it dry.
Know what you have, inventory.
Close. Use it. To know what you know how to use it. You put away 50 pounds of flour, I sure as heck want you to know how to make a tortilla pretty darn quickly. What are some of the foods at a grocery store that you can just open up and eat and the store is fairly well? No heating, no water. 1, 2, 3 years of food storage. Man. Okay, he says canned foods. Who says what? What else we got?
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter, right. How are you going to run your pasta cooker when there's no power? Honey is okay. What'd you say?
Spam.
Rice.
Jelly with the peanut butter.
Jelly with the peanut butter. Crackers?
Cereal.
Crackers?
Dry
cereals don't store very well. To be jerky. Expensive. Okay. Hush! Thank you. Oreos!
Double stuff.
I'm sorry. I didn't know it was you. Short term, open and eat foods. No water needed. Vacuum packed peanuts, vacuum packed nuts, good source of protein. Sunflower pumpkin seeds, meat sticks, they're highly processed, jerky. Slim, fast, and sure, and instant breakfast drinks. Wait till you have I tell you a few things about those. Marshmallows, granola bars, breakfast bars, fake cheese, and crackers. Crackers, saltines, fruit leathers, canned fruits, no heat. That's what this section. Like canned soups and stuff you'd want to open up. Canned fruits you eat cold. Okay, understand the difference. Canned. I'm not gonna eat beans, let alone cold beans. I guess you would, but canned fruits, peanut butter, jelly, honey, crackers, squeeze bottles and packets work good. We're talking short-term open and eat, first couple days, okay? Some of the stuff might be in your backpack as a cert person. Some of it might be in your car if you're traveling or out and about. Hard candies, nutrition bars, protein bars, power bars. Dried fruits, Sun-Made has a very large line of them. my laser. Notice I have little symbols here. I have stars and I have dollar signs. The stars generally mean how many years will you store them for? How many years are these good for? The dollar signs are the relative cost. Vacuum pack nuts, you know, $3 out of $5. Five is the biggest. It's got $3 signs by it. It's kind of pricey. Stores for a very long time. If they're vacuum packed, they'll store very long. Sunflower pumpkin seeds, store forever, cheap as heck. Meat sticks, highly processed. Expensive, but store a long time. Jerky, very expensive, stores 5 years or more. Slim Fast and Sherb and other breakfast drinks, moderately priced, store for a long time. Marshmallows cost nothing, store forever. Granola bars, breakfast bars, they have a higher oil content, you know, 1 or 2 years. Moderate cost for these. I have granola bars in my cert pack. Okay? And I actually ate some of them and gave some away during the blackout. Baked cheese and crackers, only a year or two, but it's cheap. Crackers, saltine and others, about 2 years. No oil in them. What's the Jewish crackers that have matzah, right? Store forever. They're just flour and water. Oil is what degrades. Fruit leathers. They're dried fruit, pureed, you know, and dried out. They store forever. Canned fruits, no heat, long-term storage, and very low cost. Peanut butter, jelly, honey crackers, long-term storage. And I got peanut butter well over 5 years. It's just fine. Low cost. Squeeze bottles and packets prevent you having to use a knife and make dishes. Hard candies, store forever, and low cost are good comfort food. Nutritional bars, protein bars, 1 or 2 years, high cost. Dried fruit, store forever, moderate cost. So what? Where would you use these type of foods? You know, I mentioned the cert kit and stuff. You know, it's your first couple days. You know, hunting, camping. I'm not talking about that here. I'm talking about preparedness. You're going to use these for the first couple days. You're going to use them to supplement your week's worth of food. These will become snacks to the stuff that you will make, but you'll eat them for the first couple days. Dried fruits, okay? You can dry your own. If you get a food dehydrator, run the thing all the time. Dehydrate your own stuff. Put it in the bag, seal it. It'll stay good forever. Oh, see, what else do you want? Nah, not that. Short-term, beverages. Just add water, hot water, or cold water. Different types of beverages and stuff you can get right off the store shelf. We have instant coffee packets or instant coffee, Kool-Aid-type powders with or without sugar. What type of institution is fueled by coffee and by bug juice? What institution runs on coffee and bug juice?
Hospitals.
7-Eleven.
Police station.
The United States Navy is powered on coffee and bug juice. They call it Kool-Aid bug juice. No! These are two good things to have in a disaster. They're both stimulants. Believe me, I wish we had more coffee in the EOC during the blackout. Freeze-dried coffees, teas, hot cocos, exotic coffees. They got these cappuccino powders and everything else. Protein powder is just add liquid to it, and you can consume it. Instant breakfast mixes with or without powdered milk. You can actually get an instant breakfast mix that needs milk, and you add your own powdered milk and add water to it, and it mixes up even easier than if you added whole milk to it. You shake it up and you can drink it. What else do you think is in a grocery store that you can just add water, hot or cold, to and have a drink? It's up there. Actually, Jell-O's a good one. Jell-O is a good one to add to that list. December. Yeah, you can drink Jell-O too. I have a secret for you. Remember, I was going to tell you more about Ensure type of drinks and stuff. If you take, you know what Ensure and Slim Fast drinks really are? They're oil, sugar, milk, and water. Have you ever looked at the back of a jar of oil? You know, you're going to love this, okay? This is great. You're going to remember this one, trust me. Have you ever looked at the back of an oil jar? Corn oil, vegetable oil? You know how many calories
are in a serving, which is a tablespoon. About 220 calories per tablespoon. That's what Slim Fast and these other drinks are. If you take milk and water to volume, so let's say you want to drink, or you want to drink a quart, a little pint, okay? You want to drink a pint. You got a cup right here. You want to, your meal to be a pint. Got it? You're going to take your powdered milk. You want to buy powdered milk in Mylar packages like this, not in boxes. The store is much longer. This is 21st century technology here. Wax-colored boxes, 1800s, 1900s. You're going to take your powdered milk, and it says so much powdered milk in here for 2 cups, which is a pint, right? So you mix it up. Got it? You got your milk. Now, how many calories do you want in your meal? You want a 500-calorie meal, or is it cold in wintertime, and you want to drink 1,000 calories? You want your meal to be 1,000 calories. Okay? So how many calories do you think you're going to put in here? Pick a number.
200.
No. Okay, 200. One tablespoon. If you just want to take in 200 calories, it's warm, you got something to eat, put in one tablespoon of oil into this. You can add some more calories to sugar and for taste. Sugar is high in calories, oil is the highest. So put in maybe a tablespoon of sugar. You can add some cocoa, or you can add some vanilla, or strawberry, anything you want. Shake it up in like a little shaker, or mix it up, and drink it. You will take in the amount of calories that's equal to the oil, plus the milk, plus the sugar. And you can look up those number of calories in the bag. If it's cold outside, and you're working, you can easily use 8,000 calories a day. If you're sedentary like you are now, you want about 2,200 a day. That oil is fairly cheap stuff, okay? I mean, you can't get food more compact in a smaller space than what I just told you up there. You can have a little Ziploc bag with the stuff in it, a little bottle of oil, and just add your water to it, and you will not be the happiest dinner you had, but you won't be hungry, and you'll get the calories dumped into you instantaneously that you need. You're not talking about nutrition here. We're talking about calories you burn into fuel. And that's all these Slim Fast and Sure drinks are. It's milk, water, oil, flavorings. And they sell it by the large bottles here at the grocery store. Is that interesting? They keep on appearing.
You have stock in that company.
Let's see. Oh, a good way of mixing this up? Ziploc bag. You put everything in a Ziploc bag and you just squeeze it all together to mix it. Okay? Then you drink it and throw the bag away. So you don't have to wash out a tumbler or anything. If you put it and you shake it up, and you put it in here and you shake it up and you drink it, you get an oil film in here. And it's really hard to clean. So I recommend you make your improvised Slim Fast drink in a Ziploc bag. Keep the powders in there pre-measured. Just add the water and oil, shake it up, pour it, and go drink it right out of the bag. Throw the bag away. That's a great thing for your cert kit. I mean, if you want to stay out for a day or so. Let's see, I forgot why I put those in there. It was supposed to be funny. What costs about $1 to $1.79 a pound on sale? Freezes great for a long time. Shelf stable for weeks once it's not frozen, even on a hot day. Is great to add to homemade meal replacement drinks. Goes great in coffee, hot cocoa, on crackers, bread, biscuits. And it tastes great. And I got it right here. What is it?
Honey.
Honey. No, it's not honey. It's not sugar. No. Did you see me? You didn't see me do this? Butter. Butter. This is the staple food of people who go into the Arctic and the Antarctic. They take pounds and pounds and pounds of butter or into the mountains. And you take it and you slice it off and you drop it into your hot cocoa, your coffee, or whatever. And you got one heck of a rich drink. They are burning 6, 8, 10,000 calories a day. Now, this is like a winter preparedness thing.
You know how many calories are in here? $1.80 is what I paid for this. You know how many calories you got in this 1 pound of butter? 3,200 calories in here. Now, isn't that pretty cheap backup foods and energy for your colder weather seasons? I mean, you will literally be warmer. And, you know, if you're a little challenged hypothermically or whatever, you're exercising or you're not exercising, the increased caloric intake of the butter will literally help you keep your heat engine going. Oh, I don't know. Whatever is the cheapest. You'll salted or unsalted. Believe me, you'll take the water in. If you're going to eat that much, I'd probably say unsalted. But hey, throw it in your freezer. It stays good for a long time. And if it's the wintertime, who cares? You can throw it out. Your house will be cool anyways. I'm going to show you some things about baking some things and stuff like that. I mean, you want more calories. The biscuits aren't enough for you. You smear butter on it or jelly. I mean, you can take in a great deal of calories through any type of oil product. Yeah? No, you just don't want anything. No, it doesn't. Jelly acts as a growth medium. I mean, I've had mold get into jelly and ruin it. Generally, you would eat it pretty quickly after you opened it. But the rule of thumb, sugared products store it for a long time. Sugar is kind of a preservative. But in jelly, it's also a growth medium. Okay, I covered this. Okay, short-term to mid-term supplies. There's some key things here for you to learn. If I'm a grocery store, add hot water only. Okay, these foods are only add hot water. The ones I showed you before were open and eat. These are principally dry items, dried or dehydrated. If it's dehydrated, we talked about water being a growth medium, you know, for bacteria and within foods and stuff. The food's a growth medium, the water is a transport mechanism. Dried foods store very well, especially if they're sealed in anything like Mylar. 5-plus years easily. We have lots of advances in packaging technology in our dried foods. We got instant oatmeal and cream of wheat and instant rice and stuff up here. I want you to think not in terms of plates, but of cups. I mean, if you're home and you're going to do it and you're in a situation where you need a meal quick or something, I want you to think in terms of making your soup in a cup like this, a styrofoam cup, and then throwing out the cup. You'd boil or heat the water up, which is covered in the next class. You put your dried soup into the cup, add the water into here, stir it up in the coffee cup, eat it and consume it out of the cup, and then dispose of the cup. You don't have water or time for dishes. Not during the first week. You know, not late. It just makes things easier. So think in terms of, we have instant oatmeal, cream of wheat, instant grits. I mean, there are so many flavors of instant oatmeal in a Mylar single serving pouch now for so cheap, it's ridiculous. Not ridiculous, it's great. Instant rice. Some people make rice easily, other people can't. So we got boil in bag instant rice. You open the box, you take the bag, you put it into the pot, you boil it for 5 minutes, you got rice. You eat it right out of the bag or drop it into the cup. There's a huge selection of side dishes for rice as well that are just add water. I mean, I spent about 20 hours in the grocery store the last couple of months doing an inventory of this stuff. Huge selection. Instant noodles, instant soups, and soup starters. Huge selection as well, okay? Just look at all these. Look for the things in the grocery store that are just add water, just add hot water. Stew and meat gravy mixes. Huge selection of these. Instant potatoes and instant gravies. There's many flavors of both with garlic and herbs and butter and chives. And in fact, I got some right here. Instant potatoes with butter. It's with fake butter. And this is actually more than a meal for me. This is too much. I eat half of it. Good source of quick carbohydrates. It's in a Mylar package. This will stay good for 5 years or more. Question?
All those things that you can buy, say your microwave don't work, but you know those little microwave cups that you got macaroni and cheese? Or
they got liquid in them. They got liquid in them. This is just dried stuff that you own. You add your own water to.
You want to, I'll show you the difference between this and that in a second. You'll really see the difference. There's many cups of soups that are dry. There's many instant breakfasts. There's hot oatmeal and flavored stuff in cups, single serving. You buy it, open the top, pour in the water. What things you might do is you might get a bunch of them on cheap. Sale. You're looking for sale. You're looking for clearance. You're looking 2-for-1, 3-for-1. You're looking for these things on sale, and you see them cheap, you buy them, and you put them into your storage, okay? You don't have to go buy them all right now. Instant macaroni and cheese. Someone said pasta earlier. These are easy to make. Look, notice the cost difference. What did I do that lowered the cost between this and what I just showed you? Look at the number of stars up here. Cream of wheat, instant grits. Storage for 3 years, low cost, $1 sign. Instant rice, boil and bag. Storage for 5 years, cost cheap, $1 sign. Rice sides, all these store for a long time, and they're the lowest costing stuff. What's the difference between this and what my previous section was?
No sugar.
No water.
That's right, no water. Look at these. Here's the short midterms of add water, and here's my previous list of no water needed, open to need. Look at all the dollar signs up here. When you go to the trouble to use a propane burner, your gas stove, solar power, you know, you're rubbing two sticks together, when you go to the trouble to heat your own water, to add it to something that was dried, your cost just plummeted, okay? When we go to you making stuff out of flour, it plummets even more. So if you can go through the trouble of boiling or heating up some water, you're going to get a lot of food that you can eat very quickly for a low dollar cost. It doesn't have to all be beef jerky, open and eat, and the more expensive stuff. So this is your next level down. Look for these. Just add water type of things. Okay, short term, mid term, other foods at the stores that you can get for a short period of time that store a long time. Popcorn, kernel in microwave. If you have a microwave bag of popcorn and your microwave don't work, how can you use it? Open the bag, you'll find a slab of butter with kernels in it. Drop it into a pot like you'd make normal popcorn. And just heat it up and shake it. Popcorn with butter is a good comfort food. And it also can be a lot of calories. Regular canned goods. How can you tell? There's a date on all canned goods, right? You want to throw it away when it reaches its date? How can you tell if a can of food, whether it be meat or anything,
the lid
will swell when it's bad. That's one of your first clues, okay? What else can you tell? What if I had a can of stuff that was 15 years old?
Discoloration.
Smell is the big one. Discoloration, guess what? Discoloration is not the big one. If you look at it and it's slightly discolored, that's from oxygen. No, there's nothing wrong with dented cans. Old wives' tale. Let's look this way. If your dog won't eat it, no. You take it to your neighbor who's a lawyer and have... No. If it smells bad, don't eat it. If it tastes bad, go like this, don't eat it. If it's swollen, don't eat it. If it's slightly discolored, but it doesn't really taste bad, doesn't really look bad, not swollen, it's probably pretty good to eat, okay? So don't believe that date isn't a scientific instrument there for you. Who's the only person you can depend upon? Yourself. I want you to use the senses that are in your body, your eyes, your nose, your taste, your common sense, and to see if it's any good. So cans?
Must on the can?
No. It's on the inside. It's on the outside of the can. No, rust on the can is not an indicator.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Food banks have more food than they know what to do with. And people are fussy. Oh, there's rust on the outside of the can. Well, there's like 20 thousandths of, 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 of aluminum between the rust or the of iron between the rust and the fluid. It's not going to affect it. And how long is a can of food good? It's good until it's good until it swells.
Okay.
Stinks.
Understand. Year wise.
Could be 5, 10, 20 years.
Because I talked to a guy that sells food, and he said 20 years for a can of food.
It can be 20 years for a can of food. It can be. No pun intended, okay? It can be that long. You know what food, you know what canning really is, don't you?
Purification.
Well, it's, you know, who invented canning? Five cards for anyone who can tell me. Who's the person who invented canning?
Betty Crocker.
No. Come on, this whole stack. Who can tell me the name of the man who invented canning? Not Ball, not Pasteur. It's his principle that explained it. But someone invented it before they understood it. No. No. Not Edison, not Mason, not Pasteur.
Steve Harris.
Steve Harris, no. There's a French name, French man by the name of Appert. Appert invented canning. And you know who he did it for? Napoleon. Because Napoleon was having a hard time feeding his army, and he put a big prize out. And they used lead to seal the cans. Very good. Romans used lead pipes. Okay, before we go down the rest of the list, we're going to take 30 seconds and change tapes. You get another one just for asking good questions. You had a chance to win the whole stack. Oh, your daughter's the one who got hurt?
Four cars. One lady went to the hospital. So.
She's okay?
My daughter's okay. But
one lady 6 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. Right around the corner.
On their way here, right?
What's that?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. One. Okay, we'll start. Okay. Yes, Appert invented canning. He did it for Napoleon. You know what? You know what? I'll give you two cards if you can tell me what they did the first quote canning in. What was the first? What was the first container?
A crock.
No.
No.
Crock.
What's the exact device?
One of those things that goes in the ground or something.
No. Not a leather bag.
Powder keg.
No.
Not a powder.
Keg. Not a powder keg. No. Okay. Contest over. I'll tell you. What did they have a lot of in France that they drank? Wine bottles. You know, you can actually do canning in one of these right here. Soda bottle. You can boil this and can right in here. Yes, you can. I didn't say it wouldn't shrink. I said you could do canning in it. Okay, where were we? Popcorn, regular canned goods. Powdered milk. For baking, principally, not for drinking. Or for mixing with the oil. It's very good. It's kind of pricey, but it's very good for that. Powdered milk can easily go 8 years. And you open it up and it stinks. And the cat won't lick it. Don't eat it. Okay. Beef, chicken, turkey, fish in cans and foil pouches. We have gone a long way. We have Mylar pouches, which is aluminized plastic, okay? And what we're doing is we're actually doing canning in these bags right here. What's funny?
You said that powdered milk lasts 8 years, and if you open it up, you know, the cat won't even eat it. And this gentleman over here said regardless of
the cat. Oh, that's cute. Anyways, these taste like chicken. These Mylar bags that we're doing packaging in today, I mean, we're literally doing canning in here. They're being disinfected with heat. The food's being processed at heat. It's all at high temperature. It's all killed everything. They shove it in here. They seal it. No bacteria, no air getting in. You're looking at meats and other things that normally spoil pretty good that you get in cans in Mylar thin pouches that are storing for a very long time. Don't overlook them. Bumblebee is a good company, as well as the people making some other tuna companies. I got a whole list of them. It's really quite impressive. Pretty cheap stuff, too. It's a good way to store some meat if you really want to have to have it. Spam! Spam's supposed to last 8 years. I think that's right from Hormel. Again, if you open it and it stinks, it's still spam. Refried beans are already pre-cooked. You just need to reheat them. Normally it takes 3 hours to cook beans, and only a half hour in a pressure cooker. Peanut butter and jellies, 5 years peanut butter easily. Honey, you know how long some honey's been stored? Thousands of years in Egyptian tombs, okay? Crystallizes, but you got to reconstitute it. Protein powders, instant pudding, jello, and other foods are pretty good. Salt, seasoning, spices. Seems to be the worse the environment, the more people seem to crave seasonings and spices. There have been staples of armies in combat for ages. You know what they fight over the most in both Gulf Wars? They fight over little bottles of Tabasco sauce that come in the MREs. Things are like gold. They want to put Tabasco sauce in everything. Notice how I'm not talking about MREs in this whole thing. I don't want you to be dependent upon a pouch of things. I want you to understand it and be able to make your own pouch of stuff that you get from the grocery store. How about chocolates? How about chocolates? Do you really want to have a high intake of chocolate? No, you don't want to have a high intake of chocolate. Chocolate is really kind of toxic. You hear chocolate will kill a dog if you feed it a couple pounds? Kill you if you eat enough pounds of chocolate as well, 10, 20 pounds of it.
Why would they put it in the MRE?
It's a severe comfort food. You just eat chocolate and you just forget about everything else. Think about chocolate in that way as a comfort food, okay? Don't sit there and buy great big Hershey bars and say, I'm going to eat two of these big Hershey bars for a meal. You're going to have all sorts of small problems develop, body odor. It's kind of toxic. It'll affect you in little small ways. You just don't need that. If you want some chocolate as a comfort food, you know, you're stressed, and it's like, oh, this feels good, you know, fine. But don't make a meal. Don't make a meal out of chocolate. Make a meal out of butter, but not chocolate. Make sense? Long-term ability, shelf-stable staple foods. God. Staple foods. Cheap. Something goes boom. Leadership suddenly and violently thrust upon you. And you're at home. You're in California. Earthquake. Okay? It's almost like you're traveling. You're out with your cousins in California. You got 2 years of food. Here. You're out in California. All ground shakes. Okay? You have no stuff with you, but you understand what I've just taught you and I'm about to teach you. So you're going to run to the grocery store with your $32 and your American Express card. Got it? You're going to be there with everyone else. The cans, the water, the bread, the meat, the milk, gone. Everything in a box or a plastic bag, gone. All the Fritos, the chips, gone. Okay? What's left? Historically, what's left in a grocery store when everything's gone? No, I said the canned goods are gone. Oops. Oil. Sugar. Flour. 25 pounds, $4 at Sam's Club. Salt. Oh, some of these are a lot left. Just add water pancake mixes, just add water biscuit mixes and other things. They got all the stuff in it for you. You'll find these. You see these in a grocery store, you'd be happy, Okay? You can get biscuit and pancake mix or Krusty's in these great big Mylar pouches. 5 pounds of it at Costco for like $6, okay? In Mylar. Don't overlook it. It's a good 1 week, it's a good midterm, short-term food supply, and you'll see why. All you have to do is put water into it and on it on a skillet and you got a pancake. Or you can do other things with it. You can drop it in oil and it's really delicious. It, you know, it cooks up very quickly, as we'll show you, but little boxes of mix like that and bigger ones. those are gone. Long-term ability, shelf-stable staple foods are cheap. They can have 5, 10, 20 years of storage. You can store them and forget them. You can use these for short-term as well. I'm talking about flour and pancake mixes. You can use them, and you can fry them up as a one-day, two-day emergency food. The price will be even cheaper. How come the price is cheaper for all these things? We showed you the price is cheaper for distilled water. Now you're doing the work. You're adding the ingredients yourself. Okay, it becomes even cheaper. So you get down to $1 a day for food. So the question always comes to me, Steve, what are we going to eat? What are we going to eat in a disaster? A real disaster, a long disaster. You better not say I'm going to beat you. What are we going to eat? You know what I tell them? And I'm not just saying this because we're in a police station. Donuts! We're going to eat donuts! Why? The old way of doing long-term food storage is what was called wheat, honey, and milk. The Mormons used to teach us an awful lot. You buy a bunch of wheat, you buy a bunch of honey, and a bunch of powdered milk. You can live off of this stuff. But what's the problem with wheat? Cheap. You got to process it. You got to grind it. And you're not used to it. How many people here just love wheat bread and eat it every day?
Not every day.
5 out of 40, okay? Everyone else here is not going to have enough toilet paper in their house for what's going to happen to them if they eat wheat every day. And people go, well, but you can sprout it and eat it. I want to see you sprout wheat and eat it for 3 days, 5 days, or 10 days, okay? You've got to prepare it. It's flour out of the store. The new way I'm going to teach you doing it is flour, oil, and sugar. Obviously, you know why oil and sugar is up there now, don't you? It's high in calories. How long does it store for? Sugar, long time. Oil, 5 years or more easily. Flour, they already put the money and the energy into the wheat to turn into flour. If you don't buy the flour, you're going to sit there in the grinder. You're going to do the same thing. So why don't you just buy it with the energy content already in it so you don't have to put it into there? Okay. What do people say is wrong with white flour? You hear this all the time. What's wrong with white flour? They drain bleach all the nutrients out of it. And what's the other thing they say about it? They say it's got so little nutrients or whatever that bugs won't even eat it, right? It ain't got no nutrition, bugs won't eat it. Well, what did I tell you about nutrition? Are you after nutrition?
No.
Are you after a balanced meal?
No.
Hell no, you're after a meal. You're after the caloric intake, the calories that keep you moving, keep you from being hungry. You're so loaded with nutrients and vitamins from your American diet, you can go for months without suffering a nutrient deficiency, unless you have a medical condition. You can go for months. Scurvy, 6-9 months, even before it even thinks about getting into our bodies. Ain't got no nutrition, bugs won't eat it. When it comes to storing food for a long period of time, 5, 8, 10 years, I say bugs won't eat it is a pretty darn good thing. I have had beetles get into my corn, and it was a mess. So that's why I really like flour. And see, you're all familiar with eating floured products. It's comforting to you. You're used to it. It's not like you're crunching through wheat bread. You don't need the nutrients. You need the calories. And so I'm famous for saying this. When you whine to me about I ain't got no nutrition, shut up and take a multivitamin. It's a one penny a day answer. Buy them at Costco. Throw them in your freezer. Take one vitamin a day along with all your white bread boiled in oil. Okay, You'll die of cold weather exposure in minutes. You will die of dehydration in days. You'll die of food starvation in weeks. You'll die of nutrient deficiencies in months to years. It's more likely years. Take everything you know about current nutrition and food and throw it out the door. You're not trying to get five food groups and a balanced meal every day. Like I said, you just want a meal. So how do you store bread? Lisa, my other volunteer from last class, get up here. Come on. You gotta do this. How do you store bread? Tell me, how do you store bread? For years. How do you store bread for 20 years? Nope, you can't freeze it. No, can't dehydrate it. Who said that? We're high tech today. That's right. You store the separate ingredients and then you make it real quickly when you need it. Got it? That's how you store bread. No, not crumbs. You'll never store it. You got to make it. Okay, you know what? I think I'll take another newbie volunteer this time. Who here is my most inept cook? You're my most inept cook? Come on up here. I'm going to show you guys. You can go sit down.
Okay.
I'll need you, though, again. I'm going to show you how to make bread in 30 seconds. Okay? And I'm going to show you a way you'll never forget. This is your under-the-overpass, penniless, and you'll never, ever starve stuff. Okay? Lisa, will you heat the skillet up, please? Get the skillet one. Okay. Catch. Flour. Where is my cup? Here's my cup. I need water. Rolling here. And let's see. What am I missing? Salt. Oops. Hang on. I lost my microphones here. You might want to move the camera over to the right and then zoom in all the way down here if you can. I'm going to turn the lights on. You know what? Did I bring the... Uh-oh. You know what? I did forget to bring something. No, the wax paper. No, we'll just have to... Well, I'll have to clean it up. We'll make it without the wax paper. Improvise, overcome, adapt. You got that right. Yep. You got it. Okay. How to make bread quickly and instantly. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Come over here. Here's your cup. Okay, we have here. You want me to do my Julia Child impression while we're cooking? I'll take your card away. Okay, now, instantly making bread. You ready? No recipe. Take a scoop of flour, like half that, like a cup. Just take a scoop of flour. Oh, it's pretty good. Now, what you're going to do is I need to get a stirring implement for him here. You take a scoop of flour. Put a dab of oil in there. Like a tablespoon. No, a little more control in it. A dab. Just a little bit too much, but oh well. Put a dab of oil in there. Now...
Put some more flour in there.
Yeah. Some more flour in there. You have to get a vacuum cleaner.
Okay. So we have a scoop of flour, a dab of oil, and a pinch of salt.
God, if I could see why you don't trust me with the amount of salt.
Okay. So there we go. A pinch of salt. Now I want you. So look, this is just a cup. This is a clear cup here. Okay. What we're doing? Just mixing it in a cup. Any container will do. Now, you're mixing implements. Pour in, you know, mix it up first. Get the oil mixed up into it. Am I telling you one cup of flour? Am I saying one tablespoon of oil? And I'm saying half a teaspoon of salt? It's almost any combination thereof. Believe me, if you put too much salt in it, you'll know to put less in next time. I guarantee you. Okay, add water to this to make a dough. You can do it. Just keep on mixing it up. I want you to mix up a dry ball of dough. Yeah. Help them add water, Lisa. Mark's going to get a phone call. There's a bakery in the cert training room. Okay, flour tortillas. No, I am not adding any seasoning. Do I have my wax paper here? I swear I dropped it into the... Yes, if you had a medical reason not for the salt, you could, but it adds actually a significant amount of flavoring to it.
Are you just going to roll it out?
Yes, we're just going to roll. Lisa! This lady gets an award. Roll it out between... Yeah, make it drier. Plop it down here. Just plop it down here on the flour. Yeah, oh. Nice thing about cooking tortillas.
Yeah.
Roll that out. Or take a hunk of it. A little bit bigger than a golf ball, smaller than a tennis ball. Here you go. Roll that out. Take a section of it like the size of a golf ball, you roll it out flat. Cooking temperature for a tortilla, almost anything. If it's hot, the way it should be, it'll cook in 10 seconds. You problem with the camera? Yeah. It'll cook in about 10 seconds. If it's too cool, it'll cook in a minute. Question.
You're filming these. That goes on to your website?
No, the audio will be on the website.
So from out of state, like your family out of state.
They can get the audio, definitely.
Yes. Painful watching them go.
You just volunteered to help Lisa make more. Actually, you're pretty practiced at this now. You fed us. You and Lisa fed us all last time. Okay, you got it nice and thin now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, pick it up and throw it onto the skillet. Okay, let us sit there for about 10 seconds and flip it. Okay, flip it. Let it do the same thing. Flip a couple times until it's brown. So all you do is you take flour, oil, salt, and water, in almost any combination, and you mix it up into a dry dough. You roll it out between two pieces of wax paper. Works good. You roll it out with a wine bottle, whiskey bottle, any other bottle that just got empty that you wish was filled, and you just roll a rolling pin,
and you roll it out flat, and you throw it on top of the skillet on a high heat for about 10 seconds on each side or until brown, and you pull it off, and it's ready to eat. Okay, come up, help us make a whole bunch of it. You have to eat your first creation, too.
Since I don't cook.
Okay, that should be done.
We had wax paper last time.
Yeah, we had wax paper last time. Okay, go ahead, take it off. Let it cool, and then... Oops, what happened? Heat transfer.
Are you going to make donuts? So you make another batch now?
No, just keep on doing. Keep on
I
doing.
Make dough.
Yes.
You want to keep making dough?
Yes. Please. Lisa, keep an eye on this temperature. We want it to come up around 400, but no higher.
Okay.
Okay. We're running. I got to move forward on some things here. They're gonna make tortillas, and we're gonna pass them all out here. You're gonna see how delicious they are. Now, what are some of the things you can put onto the tortillas to make them a little bit more flavorful? Honey, peanut butter, jelly. What else can you eat with
salsa?
But you're gonna see if you're gonna be doing food storage, if you're gonna be doing food for a week, a month, or more, this is gonna be one of your prime ways. If you have to bake bread, I mean like bake a loaf of bread and everything, you have to mix the ingredients, have yeast, let it rise, knock it down, let it rise again. Gotta have a good temperature environment, it can't be too cold. And then you gotta bake it. Now, baking in an oven takes a great deal of energy. I mean, how long does it take to cook a loaf of bread? Take a loaf of bread. 30, 40 minutes? That's an awful lot of high temperature and using your precious fuel just to get a couple loaves of bread. This, you're making the bread in about 20 seconds if it's hot enough. You're only running the heat for as long as you're needing to make it. And it comes out very quickly. Question?
How would you store the flour?
I'll get to that. I got a storage section up here for storing the flour. That's cooking hot and fast enough? Did you all see this? Scoop of flour, dab of oil, dash of salt, water to a dough. If you're hungry underneath an overpass, you could do this with a flat piece of metal, three bricks, and some wood. Question?
Yeah, okay, so I'm doing that beautiful.
You're doing what?
Pull over.
Pull over? What's that? Your home. This is for home. Or in a shelter. Whip. Making, pull that off there. I don't know what's burning on here, but. What's the temperature on the oil? Oh, it's getting there. Okay, we're going to be making, I got to move forward. We're going to be making some of this as well. You'll be able to try some of that after the class. You take the same recipe for the tortilla. Remember I said you're going to make donuts? You got donut recipes abounding that you can use and do this. We're heating some oil up right now. You take the same dough for the tortilla, and you drop it into a pot of hot oil. You'll fry up the dough in literally 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Comes off being crisp. You can add a little salt to it, a little cinnamon, a little sugar. I mean, not salt.
I love it.
It's just absolutely delicious. Again, it takes a lot of energy to bake. It doesn't take a lot of energy to heat, oil up, and to drop almost any dough. You know what tastes delicious? You take the pancake mix, add water, and drop in balls of it into the hot oil. It comes off just absolutely wonderful. Okay? And it's easy to do. Now notice, hush! Notice what I got in the oil. You see what's in the pot in the oil?
Hard to see.
I got a candy thermometer in there. Why? Because I want a piece of instrumentation telling me how hot the oil is. It gets too hot, it catches on fire. Too cool, it doesn't cook good enough. So I'm cooking at about 400 degrees Fahrenheit, 350 to 400, with a $4 candy thermometer. Gives me all the feedback I need to know for frying stuff in the oil. Okay, we're going through the oil cooking demo right now. It's the same thing. A scoop of flour, dab of oil, dash of salt, water to a dry dough. You can add, if you add some baking powder to it, problem? Okay. I'll take care of it. If you add a tablespoon of baking powder to it, it'll puff up. Or a teaspoon of baking powder to it. If you add a little bit of powdered of milk or you add egg or anything else, all it does is just become richer and more flavorful. So your basics are flour, oil, and salt, and anything else you add gives it more flavor, more texture. It gets it closer to a donut. Let's see. People say their kids won't eat survival foods. I got a picture of a 3-year-old and a 14-month-old. The mother is feeding her the stuff that you're about to see. Kids eat it. Kids love it. We'll love it. It's delicious stuff. You're not choking down anything grainy or horrible tasting at all. The other thing I had here was we can take stuff like this, the cornbread, the Jiffy mix and stuff. You don't have to add one egg and milk. You can mix it with water. You can drop it into the hot oil and eat it right away. You can pour it onto a skillet like a pancake and skillet it up, and you'll have a flat bread as well. I need someone to come up here and help me pass out the piece of the tortilla. You flip that. Keep an eye on the oil temperature. Yeah, pull that off. Pull that off with the spatula real quick. Pick that up with the spatula. Yeah, it's okay. So anyways, the other thing I want you to notice is, ouch. Here you go. Look how fast we're making this. It's not perfect. We got a newbie cook up there. But look how fast we're making this. You're making enough that I'm actually putting food into the mouths of 50 people in a matter of minutes. It cooks very quickly. You can distribute a lot of food real quickly.
Should I be doing maybe
one
longer?
No, I just didn't want it to burn.
Pardon me?
I just didn't want the flour to burn.
Oh, you say they're not perfect. What could be better?
Oh, I'll go into it later. Oh, eggs! Eggs! If you go to the store and you buy eggs, you leave them on the counter, how long are they good for?
6 months.
About that, months. If you open them up, they stink. They're not any good. Eggs don't need to be refrigerated. They store for a long time. So if you run into a store for last-minute supplies after the blackout, you got a bunch of flour and everything else, what are you buying? Milk, eggs, butter. Yes. Yes. Okay, stop the tortillas. Turn off the tortillas. Just turn this off.
Refrigeration adds to the egg's life.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Lisa, watch. We're gonna put the same dough into the hot oil. Yes. Roll it thin and just break it up with your hands into like half dollar, silver dollar sized pieces. Here, put them on.
You take it out.
Right. Right.
Like that.
Or you can use tongs. You put them on here, and I have tongs. Go ahead, you can start. You can start now. You help them with the plates so they can have a place to put them, okay? They got to cool before we give them to people. Okay. Hang on. Attention. I have here a box of stuff.
Oh yeah, these should be good for storing water, right?
Yes, totes are really good for storing water. Okay. I have a box of stuff here. I just got this the other day. I have 4 pounds of sugar. I have a box of pancake mix. I have 10 pounds of flour. I got a jar of peanut butter. I got some syrup. I got jelly. I got some boxes of corn mix if you really like them. I have oil. I have salt. You now understand how many different things, and you'll understand shortly how many more different things you can make with this combination. Out of this combination, you have tortillas, you got flatbread, you got cornbread on a skillet with oil, you got peanut butter and jelly, you got pancakes, you got pancake batter in oil, delicious. You got oil and sugar and water for an instant, like a swim fast type of drink, and you got all of this for $10.15. This is about a week's worth of food here for one person for $10.15. If you understand these principles of how to take the flour, the oil, the salt, and the water and make a tortilla, or a flatbread, or how to fry up something in oil, make sure it doesn't get too hot. No, I got some sugar here. The sugar is right. You sprinkle it on here. Yes. Here, you're the sprinkle person over here. A little, cook a little longer, a little more brown. A little more brown, but make roll them thin. Okay. Any questions? You really we're running through this a little fast. You understand this? Go ahead. Question. No. Whatever you like to stick your finger in and taste the best. That's right. Canola, corn, and vegetable, any of the stuff. In fact, the best oil, if you're going to store oil, what you go do is you go buy fry shortening from Costco, Sam's, or Gordon Food Service. 4.5 gallons of it is about $12. That's the oil you buy. You don't buy oil for $6 a gallon at Kroger's. You buy 4.5 gallons of it for $12 at Sam's, Costco, or Gordon Food Service, or anyone else. It's called fry shortening. It's just vegetable shortening liquid for frying. Oh, also, you know, added to this kit here is I got 3 pounds of rice for $1. If you eat rice every day and you're the average size Asian person, how much rice do you eat in one day? 3 meals a day.
3 cups?
1 pound per person per day for an average size Asian. Americans are a little bigger. So 3 pounds of rice is about 3 days worth of food for $1. The instructions are measure 2 cups of water, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 1 cup of rice. Bring to a boil. Let simmer for 20 minutes until rice is tender and water is absorbed. Pretty straightforward and easy to make. Inexpensive. Store for a long period of time. 1 week's of food. 1 week worth of food for $10.15. That's about as cheap as it's going to get. I got this stuff at Aldi's. Everything's going fine.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Questions? Okay. Your base of foods. If you want to go for a month's worth of food, are you listening?
Yes.
Your base would be rice, $15 for 100 pounds, Costco, Sam's, on sale, regular grocery stores. Flour is about $16 for 100 pounds. Sugar, $20 for 100 pounds. Oil, as I just told you, $12 for 4.5 gallons of fry shortening, which is a derivative of vegetable oil. It's hydrogenated. How do you know how long this will feed you? If you add liquid to food, what types of food do you add liquid to eat? Rice? Beans?
Pastas?
The average rule of thumb is you use 1 pound per day per person for meals of things you add water to. 2 pounds per day for like flour and wheat and corn that you don't add water to. So if you got 100 pounds of food, you know you got about 50 days worth of food, maybe 30, maybe 40, maybe 60 days worth of food for that amount of stuff that you just bought. It's a good rule of thumb to estimate. Look at, you know, what we're talking. Rice, 100 pounds. That's 100 days worth of food for $15. It just does not get any cheaper than that. You can buy a bag of rice, seal it up, and put it away. What else am I missing up here? What's not on the list? No, what's obvious?
Water.
Staple. No, not water.
Butter.
No, not butter. Beans. I didn't put beans up here on this list. They're about 50 cents to a dollar a pound. Now, what can you eat rice and beans in? What goes good with rice and beans?
Tortillas,
okay? Or flatbreads, or fried biscuits, or any of the combination thereof. Everything feeds on each other. The pancake mix isn't just pancakes. It's dough and oil. Okay. More base. Corn and wheat. Didn't I tell you corn and wheat is a problem? Wheat's hard to prepare, right? You gotta grind it, right? Corn, the same thing, right? I'm going to show you shortly the fastest way of what I call from field to food. You know how much corn costs? You know what I did in 9/11? First thing I did, second thing, well, 9/11, first thing I did after watching TV to noon, I went and pulled all my money out of the bank, topped off the fuel in my truck, not that I really had to, I had plenty of gas at home, and I went and bought 1,500 pounds of corn. It cost me $110. Do you know why I bought 1,500 pounds of corn?
Well,
you think I didn't have enough food in my house for myself?
For your neighbors.
I bought it for my neighbors. They would be bored of eating corn, but they'd be eating it. It's easier to feed your neighbors than it is to shoot them. People are the resource. Your neighbors are mechanics, they're nurses, they're doctors, they're hard workers, they're heavy equipment operators, they're police officers. Your neighbors are your resource. They have skills and talents, and you want them with you, not against you. Okay, hang on a second. We might take a small... Okay, stop making that. Pull that out. Okay, I'm going to show you the fastest way from field to food. I didn't say turn it off.
Can I just turn it on?
No.
You need a lighter?
Okay, put that on. Okay. Lisa, where's my strainer? No. I want 400 degree oil.
Oh, no. We made a donut in there.
Oh, cool. What did you make of them?
A donut.
Okay, you are going to put this in there. When you stop hearing it making noise after 30 seconds, dump it into there, okay? And put another cup in there. Put this over it like this because it's going to splatter.
Okay.
Keep an eye on our temperature. It's too hot. I need a lighter, please. I got it. Sandy, throw me your lighter, please.
Can I help by holding something?
The fire extinguisher. Okay. For like 30 seconds, and dump it in there. It likes to splatter. Okay, the fastest way from fields to food. What's this? Huh? No, it is not popcorn. Do not say the word pop for the rest of this entire seminar.
Corn.
It's corn. Field corn. This is not popcorn. I'm going to put it into oil. What am I going to do to it? It's not going to pop, I guarantee you. It's going to parch. You can't hear it? It's making noise, but it ain't popping.
No.
You got it? It's exploding. Well, it is. Wait, you'll hear it. Listen. It's making noise. It's going to stop in a moment, okay? Okay, dump it. Here's another cup. What's my temperature at? Too hot?
No, 400.
Okay, good. Cup at a time and a metal strainer and 400 degree oil. Listen. It's expanding, okay? Oh, it's good. A lot of people like it. In fact, this was a staple during World War II when peanuts were unavailable. How many people here like corn nuts? They're good. How would you like 60 pounds of corn nuts for $3.50? Okay, does that sound pretty decent? This is a little food trick, okay? This is a food technology trick. We talk about flour and everything else. But if you really want something to feed your neighbors or you want something as a finger food to add to your what you're eating, you can eat this every day, all day if you want. You might get tired of it. You can put garlic powder on it, cinnamon on it, sugar on it. What else? I mean, Tabasco, hot, plain, whatever you want. You can put it onto this. See, I'm doing this without grinding it. This is not being ground. It's not being processed. It's raw field corn that you feed cattle, which is the same stuff that they make, cornmeal out of. We're taking this. Keep an eye on your temperature, ladies. I don't want a fire.
It's 350.
That's fine. Turn it up. And we need to get salt and just drizzle it over it, shake it up and drizzle it like this popcorn. Right there. Where's salt?
You put it back.
Okay, again, most stuff I'm showing is about 400 degrees Fahrenheit, okay? Use a candy thermometer. And what can we put into hot oil? Tell me.
Water.
Come on.
Water.
We put water, it explodes. What are you putting into hot oil to make quick food?
Dough
of various types, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pancake dough, biscuit dough, cornbread dough, tortilla dough, flour and water.
And no oil when you're cooking those tortillas?
No oil. It's a Teflon. You see, I had a problem. He was doing it quick and sloppy. The flour's burning, right? It's a Teflon pan. You know where I got that Teflon pan? Big Lots, $4. Buy it for $4 and put it into your preparedness storage. I just took a paper towel. I just wiped the flour off and put it down. I didn't want smoke detectors in here going off. I mean, all that pot she's cooking in, that's $3 from Big Lots. It's not a Faberware pan. It's just a cheap Teflon pan. The measuring cup's a buck from Walmart. Is it splattering over?
Okay. You know, it's condensing off the lid, though.
No,
yes. Okay, start. Wait, I got cups here.
Do you want the oil still on?
Yeah, I want you to make some more. Here, just scoop some up in some cups and start handing out small amounts of it. Oh, guess what? What else can we... No, Lisa, no oil, no corn. Use this. Pour it back in here.
Pour it back in there?
Yeah.
Boil it.
No, really, pour it in.
Okay.
Nope.
No.
Huh? Nope. Put it in there. What's this? You see this? What's this? No. Wheat. How much? 50 pounds. Well, 550. Made here in Michigan. Soft winter wheat. Guess what we're doing with this?
Boiling
it in oil. Torturing it in the oil. That's right.
Go ahead,
build
the next table. Get another pot?
Huh?
Another pot?
Yeah.
How long do you want to be in here for? How long do you want to
be in here for? Same thing, about 30 seconds till it stops making noise. Another one, just one more. A little salt on it too. Well, let it cool. Let it cool. It stays hot for like 5 minutes. It came out of 400 degree oil. Okay, come on. We're doing two things at once. We're passing out. Listen to me. Where to get wheat and corn in southeastern Michigan? I made a grain company in New Haven Farmers Elevator, the two closest ones to us. They'll sell you bags of wheat and corn if you so desire. Cheap. One, two at a time, 50 at a time, it doesn't matter. What do we have in Michigan? What are they selling? They are selling corn, soft white wheat, hard red wheat, oats, and beans are all available in Michigan locally. Field corn. Okay, you all understand how to cook now with flour, sugar, and oil, right? What are you going to make with flour, sugar, and oil? You're going to make donuts, fry bread, flat bread, which is thicker tortillas, okay? Maybe with some baking powder in it. Biscuits. You can make biscuits out of skillet. You can take the biscuit dough, you can drop it into the oil. What else are you making? You're making rice and or beans. Now the trick is, what do you want to make rice and beans in? No, what do you want to make it in? It takes 20, 30 minutes to make rice. It takes 3 hours to make beans. The one thing you don't have a lot of is what? Energy. We're going to talk about that in the next class. See this? This is your pressure cooker. This is $20 at Walmart for a 4-quart pressure cooker. Look how thick that thing is. Okay? Very thick pot. You ain't going to kill it. You can use it as a pot. You can use it as a pressure cooker. You'll cook beans in 30 minutes. You'll cook rice in 5 to 10 minutes. Got it? Pressure cooker saves you dollars and it saves you energy. No, actually what I want you to do is... Here.
What is this
local
dish?
Wheat.
Wheat.
Will you, let's see, give me something to mix this in. There's my wax paper. Here, mix this up with some water and drop it in for corn fritters. Okay, we got another example, some stuff coming up for you.
Okay.
Yeah, just in little balls.
Right.
Quiet! Listen, I got to get to these points. Some salient things. Oh, lights. Someone hit the first light switch for me. The other one, too. Okay, listen. No, turn that one off. You're no good unless you practice. Okay? You're no good unless you practice. You cannot wait for a disaster. It must be in the inventory between your ears. Do you understand? You see how easy it was to do this? You're going to be faced with this situation up here, with this trauma, and you're not going to have the time to go figure this stuff out. Oh, biscuits. I need a volunteer. Who's got a good pair of teeth? Okay, I got a volunteer. Look at these. See these? Do these look good? See these biscuits? Don't these look good?
No.
I look like dog bones.
Like dog bones. Here, try that. We're going to talk about biscuits for a moment here. Pre-crisis. You can make these things before a crisis. Okay? 2 cups of flour, bread flour with high gluten, 1 cup of water about, some sugar, some salt, and baking powder. That's it. No oil, no milk, no egg. What spoils in food products? Oil, milk, and egg. Goes rancid and spoils, right? Is there any of these in these biscuits? You take this biscuit recipe, you make the dough, you roll it out, you take a big gulp cup, you cut off big biscuits, and you bake it like you would any other biscuit. Then you let it dry for a couple days, and you put it into a bag. He just ate a bit. How's that biscuit? It's chewable, isn't it? Would you like some honey or some jelly on it?
Oh, yes.
We like to soften it up in some coffee or something to munch on it. It tastes a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice and edible, isn't it?
Yeah, but I could have saved on my teeth cleaning last week.
You could have saved on the tooth cleaning. You know how old that biscuit is he's eating?
Uh-oh.
3 years. That biscuit he's eating is 3 years old.
Oh, my God.
It won't mold. It won't rancid. It won't do nothing. It's hardtack. Only I added baking powder to it to make it fluffier so your teeth could go through it easier. You can make those things up, store them in a bag, and if you need them, you can reach in and get them. That's your El Cheapo stuff that you need. Cute? Where else would you learn how to make biscuits that last for 20 years? The energy from the biscuits, real quickly. It's coming down to about 150 calories per biscuit because I added sugar to it. So if you eat 6 of these things, you're going to be taking about 1,000 calories. How to store your staples real quickly. Flour, sugar, oil, salt, wheat, corn, rice, and beans. Flour. Seal in a plastic bag. Take your bag of flour, put it in a trash bag, tie it tight. I mean, really tight. No air can get in. So I store it for 20 or more years. Sugar. Seal in a plastic bag. You just don't want moisture in there. Moisture degrades these. Salt. Seal in a plastic bag. 2,000 or more years. It won't spoil. Oil. Just don't open it. Oxygen is the enemy of oil. Just in a cool, dark place. I got oil dated 1994 at home. It's fine. Stick your finger in it. Go like this. It's not rancid. It's just fine. So I didn't open it, okay?
How long would you open it?
Oh, you'd use it pretty quickly. Year. Oxygen and bugs degrade these. Wheat and corn, rice and beans. Wheat and corn, you got to put in something and get rid of the oxygen, not principally because of the oxygen degrading it, but what? What comes out of wheat and corn? What? It can actually be born in the kernel of corn. Bugs. Beetles. Moss. Okay? If you put the wheat and the corn into an oxygen-free environment, those things get hatched or born. Are they going to live long? No, they're not. That's why you have to get rid of the oxygen for wheat and corn. Rice. How long do you need to store rice? Who here wants to see 17-year-old rice? Here, I'll go from back to front. Let me show you all. All of you have to see this. what 17-year-old rice looks like. Put the camera on it. Point down. Right now. Okay, this is what 17-year-old rice looks like. Just looks like it's brand new, doesn't it? You're enjoying those, aren't you?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
It's actually good.
17-year-old rice. It looks just fine.
Do you taste the lid on?
No, a friend of mine did. I stole it from her shelter. This is dated 17 years ago. It's right here. Okay, this is 17-year-old rice. This is proof to you that you can store it for this long. Okay? Beans store as well. Now, what do you have to do to store these things? You put them in a 5-gallon barrel with a lid. You can put them into a soda bottle. I mean, the same soda bottle stores water you can put wheat and corn into and cap it. Mylar pouches or sealed number 10 cans. Now, what do you have to do to these things to get rid of the oxygen? No, not really vacuum packed, but what you got to do is you got to flush the oxygen out. Either you do that with a cylinder of nitrogen, a cylinder of carbon dioxide, or you drop in a small hunk of dry ice in it, which is carbon dioxide. And you let it sublimate out. You let all the dry ice evaporate out, and then you cap it. If you do it the other way around, you blow your bottle up. Okay? So you can use dry ice to force the air out so your food will store. The easiest thing for you to do if you want to do this is you get an oxygen absorber. You know those little hand warmers? Same principle. Those things get warm because it's iron reacting with oxygen. They have oxygen absorbers that don't get hot. They're cheap. You take a pail of food, you drop the absorbers in, close them up, it'll absorb all the oxygen. It'll get rid of the oxygen for you, and it'll store. They cost like 10 cents a piece. Sorbent, it's on the website up there, sorbentsystems.com. Okay, hey, we're going to swap the tape. Now this, what she passed out, this is cornmeal. I mean, this is the Jiffy corn mix with water and oil, nothing else. Join us. Trying to wait for the numbers to roll. Okay. What you're eating now was just straight Jiffy corn mix. No oil. I mean, no added oil, no added egg, no added milk, just rolled into a dough with water and dropped in. How is it?
It's good.
The pancake mix is even better. This stuff is cheap. This is 25 cents a box. You can even make it yourself. But it's not bad, is it? I mean, look at it. I got two ladies and a pot of oil and one...
That
would
get me on it.
Well, look. Let me make this point. Listen. I got two ladies, one pot of oil, and I'm feeding 40 people. And I'm doing it pretty quickly. This is the type of speed you need to feed 4, 5, or 6, 2, or 10 people that are with you.
But is this cornbread or something else?
Corn
mix.
Jiffy mix.
It's corn.
Good.
Yeah. It's just cornbread mix thrown into with water into hot oil. Okay. Questions. I want your questions on flour, sugar, salt, oil, wheat, corn, rice, or beans. Questions.
When you're talking about taking oxygen out because we spoil things, you held up a bag of rice before. Do we need to do it with that too?
Not unless you're going to go for a long period of time. You don't need to take the oxygen out of rice if you're just going to use it in the next couple of years to store it. If you're going to store 100 pounds of it,
put in a pail and use an oxygen absorber. Okay? Some small bags, no. Your couple weeks worth of food, you'll be fine.
When you store all this stuff, should it be cool, dry place?
Yes, if you
can. You wouldn't store all this in your attic?
No, but I got people storing it in shelters in Phoenix. It's 100 degrees. The cooler, the drier, the better. But the principle is get the oxygen out for the bugs and for degradation. Review. Store tap water and soda bottles. Have a few items you can open and eat right away. And get items at the store that you can just add hot water to. Get all these on sale. Use flour, sugar, and oil and just add water mixes for a week plus the food. Go to more flour, more oil, more corn and wheat for a month or more. Use parched corn to feed your neighbors. If they're lawyers, don't feed them. Nothing here requires refrigeration. Nothing. Refrigeration and cooking is covered in the energy presentation, which will hopefully be in 2 weeks from here today, okay? Now, I got presents here for all of you. Listen, I'll pick these up on the way out, okay? I got a book here for you. I wrote this after the blackout in 16 hours on Saturday. The AP did a story on this thing. This book has gone around the world. I got a free copy here for all you CERT volunteers and all you wonderful people who are coming here. It chronicles what I did during the blackout. It tells you the things that I did that worked really well. You'll see more of these things in explicit details in the next two seminars. Keep in mind, these next seminars I'm getting, you probably won't ever be able to attend them again. I won't be giving them here or I'll be gone or something else. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to come to some of these. This is a really good book for yourself, your friends, and your neighbors, okay? It will help you for the next situation. It doesn't cover anything like the detail that we've seen in here. So we got a copy here for you. Print it up. Hey, here's something I bet you never thought of. You remember the grocery store 5 days after the blackout? What was missing? You see empty shelves in the store 5 days after the blackout ended? Thursday? What was missing? Water was still gone because we had boil alerts. What else was missing? All the meats, all the perishables, because they threw them away. They threw them out of the warehouse. The warehouses were in the blackout areas. They had to get more meat from produce makers, process, ship to the warehouse, and ship to here. You can literally go to the grocery store a week after a disaster, and there's not nothing there. It can be longer. So you think, well, I'm preparing for a three-day blackout or a week blackout. What do you need? You need 2 weeks or 3 weeks worth of food to survive a one-week disaster. Because it just doesn't all pop back in magically when it's over. Don't forget that. I did. It surprised the heck out of me when I went to the grocery store and 5 days later stuff was missing. There is a trigger effect, a chain effect, a domino effect of things that happen in large disasters. The next seminar covers chemical and biological weapons, diseases, cooking energy, cooling energy, illumination, electric power, gasoline. There was a panic for gasoline. You remember that? I'll cover gasoline very well for you. You must practice, you must know this. Understanding is the only answer. This is not a disaster. See this? This happened in Detroit a little while ago. This is not a disaster. How about one of these a day? How about one man, one gun, shooting one truck driver a day carrying gasoline? Never mind the fire. How long do you think your gas pumps in Detroit would be full if over 5 days, five gas truck drivers were shot? How many other people do you think would be driving gas into Detroit? Could you get to work? Could you get to the grocery store? Could you get to the bank? You'd paralyze the city. Day one of a disaster. Day one of a disaster. You fight for gasoline. You panic for it. Day two, you fight for water. Day three, the unprepared population fights for food. Day four, they kill for all of them. Do you want to be part of that? Or do you want to be prepared and watching it as a spectator. I mean, do you want to be doing this and taking care of your son who just hurt himself? Or you just want to be able to concentrate on your son or your child who hurt himself? This is history, okay? Any city is 3 days away from a riot and a blackout. And you saw what causes blackouts. Anything. Any city this can happen in. These people are in a SARS epidemic. They're wearing masks. What's missing? How do you get diseases? Through your eyes, through your nose, through your mouth, and other bodily orifices and cuts. They're missing their goggles. Okay? This is an actual photograph from Hong Kong, midday, rush hour, during SARS. What's missing? Everyone. Look at the grocery shelves. You want to be competing with this? This is happening here this winter, on some scale. This is happening this winter in the United States. See what they're putting up here? You know what this is? This is a prefab building system. You know what they're using it for? Quarantine of infected people. You're in. They're not letting you out. They got guns. Where am I? Where am I? Where's this picture taken? In New York. Where was I in New York in 1997? I was on top of the World Trade Center. The really big threats come out of the blue. 9/11, 8/14, Pearl Harbor. 9/11 was $100 billion in economic damage and thousands of people dead. The really big threats, the things that are easy to do against us now and probably will happen, are tens of trillions of dollars in economic damage to the United States of America. Millions dead. This can happen overnight in weeks or months. This came out of the blue. Next one will as well. You'll wake up one morning, there it is. You have no concept, none, of the threats against us or what can happen. Scourge of the planet. Not if, but when. I am where I am today because of decisions I made yesterday. I will be where I am tomorrow because of decisions I make today. The pain of discipline or the pain of regret, the choice is yours. You came here today, you joined CERT to help, to assist. What good are you if you can't take care of yourself? Someone will come feed me? Guess what? Everyone's saying someone will come feed me. You're that someone. You better have your family fed and taken care of because you volunteered to be part of CERT. You volunteered to help emergency services because you believed in it, because you wanted to contribute because you could. You're going to have to be able to take care of yourself at home first before you can even begin to help us when we really need you. We don't really need you on 1 and 2 day things. We need you when it's really bad. That's when the police and the fire are stretched and they really need every talented hand that they can trust. All of you have gone through background checks. All of you are wearing police identification that will get you through any law enforcement line. You're trusted. You're empowered. And we need you to be as effective as you can. You were at the WMD drill. It took 3 hours for them to get to you, okay? It'll be worse in a larger situation. You cannot help when you really be needed if yourself and your family isn't taken care of first. If you're out there helping us and everything, your family's home, how long before your wife or your children call you and say, why aren't you taking care of me? Why are you taking care of everyone else? The most important thing in any disaster I got the wrong book here. They made a mistake on the printing. They don't have the last page here. I wanted to read it. It's pretty good. The most important thing, it's on my top one, Mike. There we go. Thank you. You'll get 3 cards for that. Most important thing in any disaster. I finish every presentation with this.
and I wrote it up for the book. The most important thing for all of us to have in any disaster is faith. This can be faith in God, faith in oneself, or faith in friends and people who you'll never meet. No matter in what or in who, we must all have faith. Faith that a disaster will bring out the best in people and your friends, and not the worst. Faith that solutions will be found to problems. Faith that the professionals and leaders will do their job, and faith that others will step forth to fill a need. Faith that we'll be able to take care of those who we love, and faith that those who we love will come to help those of us who are in need. Faith that in the darkest moments of despair, a glimmer of light will be shown for those in need, and that light will grow to the illumination needed to find the way out of our darkness. Faith is hard, especially when buildings collapse in the span of seconds and 3,000 people we called mother, father, friend, daughter, son, brother, sister, and friend and stranger are taken from us. When others are taken from us, we have an even greater responsibility to the living. We must still do what we can do. I am but one person and I cannot change the world, but I will do what one person can do. One person does not have to help at the levels that I personally contribute to civil defense and emergency services. But one person needs to do what one person can do, and only that one person knows what he or she has the ability to do. If you can't do anything, you don't have an obligation to. If you can do something, please do try to do. But that's why we're all here. Helping during a disaster is not limited to the disaster. The best thing a person can do to help is when an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The more prepared each person or family is, even if it's just a few gallons of water in each house, is a relief on the burden of us who are going to have to bring that water to someone. So, have faith in yourself. Have faith in your friends. Have faith in your family. And have faith in those who you'll never know. That, what does not kill us, makes us stronger. Together, we will all survive whatever's in front of us. United we stand, divided we will fall. Thank you. I'll take final questions and answers on the synopsis. We ran about 9 minutes over time, a little bit longer than I want, and we're going to do the drawing.
You have something,
I'll click on. Yeah, everyone get your cards together, please. Make sure your names are all on them. We turn on the lights, please. Yeah, I got something. Please, everyone, come up and get a copy of the blackout book. Pick the ones first that have a blank page on the bottom. Nothing on the back.
If you lose power, why do they call it a blackout?
Yeah, still run. I want to have a nice round of applause for everyone who helped me with the food. I could not have done it without you ladies. It's much more effective because you passed out the food. Wait, we're going to draw your card. That's all the cards. And the door prize goes to...
Huh? Still got some up
there. Okay, well, I'm just going to reach in here and grab one. The winner is Ethel.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Ethel won a week's worth of food.
Yeah.
Ethel won the all the food from the store that I got here for your demonstration.
I'm coming here.
Wow, that's
I got to put it in a box for you. Pour it down the toilet, please. Yeah. Pour it down the toilet. No, it won't. Oh, and you win a marathon emergency light, too.
Oh. I thought it spilled.